want to shoot Charlie. I think that it wasn't meant for Charlie. It couldn't have been.
Charlie it couldn't have been. It couldn't have been meant for Pop.
Maybe it was meant for one of the tripods.
And so maybe that mysterious stranger did have something to do with it after all.
If you haven't been following the tripods, you don't know what we're talking about.
Hmm.
But so there's no need to...
Just stay tuned.
No need to feel inferior any longer. You can catch up. Anybody can catch up. In the next 3 hours, you're going to be all caught up.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to get uncaught up after a while.
Yeah.
What else have we got for the folks?
We've got Richard Nixon's resignation speech in Dubmon.
In Dub, yeah.
And a lot of people think that Lister made that.
No, he didn't. Lister played it. Yeah. Lister, who does our reggae programs Saturday at noon, was so enthused by our dub version of Nixon's resignation speech.
He played it.
Yeah, he played it.
And he credited it to us.
I understand we're going to have a couple of other speeches. I don't want to mention any names at this point, but we are going to have a couple other dub speeches in the new year, 1982.
That's true. That's very true.
And that's it is 1982 now. Can you believe that?
Yes, it is.
And
how was your New Year's celebration?
It was interesting, you know.
Mine was very eventful. I had a car crash on the way home, though.
Did you?
No, not really. Not that I know of. Well, since we're still taping this in 1981, I don't know if I'm going to be predicting the future.
It'd be kind of prophetic and pathetic, too.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, as long as there's somebody that's sympathetic to me.
On the 155 News, I'll let the folks know if that indeed happened.
Yeah.
They can all wait around for that.
Yeah.
We have telephone calls to Iran.
We have telephone calls to 706 coming up, too.
The 706 scandal.
That's right. We revealed it to you, live and on the air. Well, on
you
tape.
Can hear the kidnapping of Sidney Schreiber.
Ooh. You sure about that now? Now, that's rather risque. I don't know if you'd want to listen to that again. That may be coming up.
Well, if we get a lot of objections to it, we might have to...
Certainly something from Sidney Schreiber's coming up your way.
Yes.
We haven't heard from Sidney in such a long
time. I don't know where Sidney is. He's on leave of absence somewhere.
Well, anyway, the point is, there's lots of good stuff coming up, and I want to go home. I don't want to tape this stuff anymore. And I'm going to just walk out.
Well, no, wait a minute.
I'm not going
to Before you walk out, I want you to explain to me what the voice of Long Island and the year 1981 mean to you.
The Voice of Long Island in 1981 was our chance to go crazy to the world.
Mm-hmm. And did we do that?
I sure as hell think so. Remember the time Nancy Bellucci dropped an ice cube down my back while I was reading the news?
I remember that.
Well, we can't go into that now.
I was listening to a tape of that the other day, in fact. That was a goodie. That was a good one.
Maybe you'll play that back today.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I have that tape with me. Well, we had a lot of fun. We always got a pizza at a certain time of day, which we haven't done for a while.
And you're going to have to get it by yourself today.
Did you get it by yourself last week when you were watching the tape?
No, actually, I didn't, no.
Oh. Well, I guess I won't this week either. I can stand up to that.
So next week, we'll have to get a pizza.
Next week, we'll be back to normal.
Let's call him. Why don't you call him up about the time we normally get our pizza and order one for next week?
All right, but I'll record my voice on tape and just play the tape over the phone for them.
Okay.
Just to keep in tradition.
Yeah.
If you want to call us up live, our telephone number is 246-7901. We're going to just...
246-7901. Yeah,
okay, that was it. All right, just wanted to check on those.
Yeah.
We're going to plunge into the best of the Voice of Long Island Part 2. You don't know what you're going to hear.
So keep it here on 90.1 FM.
Yeah.
Yeah! Well, with us in our studios tonight is Professor Darryl Jones from the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, where he has been... Mr. Jones? What happened to him?
I'm right over here, Mike. I'm right over here. I'm sorry. I was just getting some of your marvelous Long Island water. You know, the water in Illinois is always so warm, and sometimes it's brown.
Oh, is that a fact? Well...
Ah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll have to send out a radio-free weekend investigation teams into that one.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, but Right now, we're talking about this idea you've come up with in your laboratory out there.
Oh, yes. Well, before you go any further, I wanted to make one small correction. You said my last name was Jones.
Yes.
It's actually Joan, without the S.
Oh, I see. J-O-A-N?
No, it's J-O-N-E. We dropped the S in 1952 so that we would be ahead of all the other Joneses in the phone book.
Oh. All right, anyhow, Professor Darryl Joan of the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana has been doing some research over there, and he's come up with this this idea, a marvelous invention, that's going to make everybody's life just a little bit easier. And, well, why don't you just tell us all about it?
That'd be nice, Mike. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, not only will this new invention simplify life for everybody, but it'll also eliminate some unnecessary jobs, sort of like what President Reagan's trying to do.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. That's commendable. I bet the current administration would be very interested in what you're doing.
Oh, they are. I've already contacted them.
They're Tickle Pink?
Yeah, we're going to be working together on this project.
Oh, well, what wasteful position are you going to cut out? Some corporate executive, vice presidential, the custodian assistant, or something?
No, not quite, Mike. The position is one which every one of us sees in action every day.
Well, we're all waiting. What is it?
Oh, it's grocery cart collectors.
Grocery cart collectors?
That's right. Now, every shopping center in America employs them to simply go out into the parking lot and bring back the grocery carts that the customers leave out there. Now, I estimate that the total cost to keep this process going exceeds $47 billion annually.
Sounds like a big waste.
Yeah, and I think that money would do better in our defense budget.
Really? But, well, what's your alternative? I mean, if we didn't have these people, we'd really be stuck. Americans are basically lazy. They don't want to take their carts back themselves. Well, we probably wouldn't be able to move our cars to the parking lot because all these grocery carts would be just like flooding the parking lot.
It is a major problem. Now, everybody's aware of that, but I can assure you my invention will put an end to it.
And that is?
That is to magnetize supermarkets.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, could you go into that a little bit more?
Certainly, Mike. Now, my invention utilizes an alternative method of getting grocery carts back to the supermarket. Namely, the pull of magnetic power. Now, as I already mentioned, the supermarket or department store or whatever would be magnetized by simply attaching a large magnetic plate to the front of the store.
I see, where the shopping carts are usually left.
Precisely. Now, each individual grocery cart would then have a little switch on it, which would either be on or off. Now, when the shopper brings his groceries out to the car and finishes loading them, he would flip the switch into the on position, activating the magnet on the front of the grocery cart. The cart would then go hurtling across the parking lot and come to rest on the magnetic plate in front of the store.
Wow.
And when a shopper wants to reuse the grocery cart, the first thing he would do is turn the switch to off. This deactivates the magnet, and the shopper would then be able to gain control of the shopping cart and bring it into the store and purchase whatever he wanted, and probably at a reduced rate because the store would no longer have to pay the person who finds all the shopping carts.
Hmm. That is something you've got there, Professor Joan. I can almost picture it now, but what about all the cars in the parking lot? I mean, it's hard enough avoiding people and little children and other cars and those little cute little trees that they put up in the little islands there.
Yeah.
But what's a motorist expected? How is he going to dodge all these unmanned grocery carts?
Well, they'll have to keep their eyes open. That's all there is to it, Mike. You could consider it a sort of alertness test.
And how fast do the carts go?
Well, I would say they could probably get up to a good 60 or 70 miles per hour, depending on distance.
So if a motorist or even a pedestrian isn't really paying attention, they'd be in for quite a surprise.
Oh, you live and learn, Mike. That's what it's all about.
Huh. Something I just thought of might be a bit of a problem.
Oh?
Yeah. Now, supposing there was another supermarket or a department store in the same shopping center.
Uh-huh.
Now, if one magnet was stronger than the other one or somehow it accidentally got disconnected, what would happen? What would stop one store from gaining all the shopping carts from the other? I can just see a crowd of shopping carts, maybe 100 of them, going from one end of the supermarket, smashing into cars and people on the way to the other magnetic plate.
Yeah, well, we have thought of all that already, Mike, so you don't have to worry. Now, you know how a magnet can be both positive and negative?
Yeah.
Well, the solution to the point you brought up would be to have one store be positive and the other negative. Not only would the cart know which store to go to, but if a customer tried to bring one store's shopping cart to a different store, the positive forces would repel the negative and the cart would fly back into his face.
Well, that's simply amazing, Professor, and it takes care of something that I always was annoyed about. It's kind of being embarrassed when I pushed one supermarket's cart into another supermarket.
No, you're not the only one, Mike.
I'll bet.
And we're hoping to take this a few steps further and eventually have a different channel for each store. The range would then be virtually unlimited.
Oh, I see. So, like, each individual store in a shopping center could have their own code.
Precisely.
So you could take a... delis would have... And, like, little boutiques.
Supermarkets, Chinese restaurants, drugstores.
Shopping carts.
Somebody could, under this system, take a shopping cart home, and it would even manage to find its way back to the store that it came from once the switch was put into the on position.
I see. It sounds like this could be the most important invention of the 1980s.
Oh, why, thank you.
Well, tell me, have there been any problems with it? I mean, there must have been some.
Well, we have been using this on a trial basis in a few supermarkets in Champaign and Urbana. For the most part, though, it worked all right, but there were a few problems.
Oh?
Yeah, like the time a kid was sitting on the little seat, you know, in the grocery cart inside the store.
With his legs hanging out?
Yes, and he flicked the switch on and activated the magnet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the cart took off in the frozen food section and went straight through the plate glass window. It came to rest just like it was supposed to against the magnet. But
it had to go through the window to do that.
Yes, it did. In that case, the magnet should not have been turned on, obviously.
Anybody hurt?
Luckily, nobody was hurt, but there were a couple of $100 worth of damage.
Oh, boy.
Which we had to pay for, too. But we are clearing the field of those little difficulties. We're thinking of installing a system where the switch could not be turned on from inside the store. It would sort of cancel itself out.
Oh, I see. So there would be all sorts of electromagnetic pulses inside the
Precisely.
Store.
It could be quite a sophisticated system.
Oh. Well,
in the long run.
Well, I wish you the best of luck and success with your latest invention.
Why, thank you, and I hope we bring the system out to a shopping center near you so you can demonstrate it for yourself.
Okay, well, when you do that, we'll have to have you up here again.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Do you mind if I take some of this water with me?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Well, don't spill it, though. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
You're in tune to the voice of Long Island over WUSB Stony Brook. It's 20 minutes after 12 o'clock now. This is actually the best of the voice of Long Island, part two. And what we're going to go into now are some telephone calls that we made to Iran. Actually, it was made with the help of our old newsman, Ray Camps, and chief engineer, Frank Burgers. And as we join the Iranian calls now, we are trying to speak to one of the hostages at the time of the hostage crisis.
Hello, operator. This is United States again. We're waiting for Mr. Victor Tomsett. Hello. 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 I'm sorry. Please don't call on at all. No connection. He has no telephone. Hello, sir. Mr. Katz?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, hello. We're calling Victor Tomsett.
Yes, I know. Sorry, no answer, no connection, no telephone. Call on at all.
Oh, so there's no answer at this number.
Yes, sorry.
All right, thank you. Do you have another number?
Yes, we do. We have another number.
Okay, we'll try that.
Thank you.
United States calling Mr. Victor Tomsett.
Hello.
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 Mr. Victor Tom Seth?
Which number do you want?
Well, well, do you know Victor Tom Seth?
Tom Seth is not here. Which number do you want?
Well, we're trying to reach him. Do you know which number we can reach him at?
Hello?
Yes.
This is the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Which department do you want?
Oh, sir, what, Mr. Katz, what department?
Pardon?
Mr. Katz, what department are you calling?
We weren't given the department. We were just given this number.
Oh. We were just given this number.
I don't know who it is, but this is the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Is that correct for you?
Sir, are you calling the...
Yes, we are. We would...
You want the Ministry of Foreign Affairs?
Yeah, this is the Foreign Ministry building is what we're interested in.
Foreign Ministry, which department do you want?
We just have a number. We don't have the department.
Pardon, please...
Do you know what department he would be in, by any chance?
Yes, sir?
Do you know what department he would be in?
I don't know. Please repeat again the name.
The name is Victor Tomseth.
Tomseth? No, I don't know. I'm sorry. He's not here.
How about Bruce Langan?
Bruce Langan? Oh, yes. Hold the line, please. Hold the line, please.
Now, we didn't know it at the time, but that was the Minister of Foreign Affairs. And it sounds like he's going to get Bruce Langan. That was a gap of about 10 minutes.
Oh, I can't hold on to you like this.
Could you just hold on for a few moments more, please?
I'll have to go in and out of the connection then, sir, okay? Would that be all right?
Okay, just so we don't lose it.
Okay, no, I'll be back.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Another 10 minutes.
He didn't come back yet, sir?
Not yet. They may be getting him.
Oh, okay.
And 5 more minutes.
You're still going to hold on, sir?
I think maybe they forgot us or something. I'd appreciate very much if we could try again, and this time ask for Bruce Langan.
Okay, sir.
That'd be the last time. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That was a good 25 minutes on there.
I don't know what's going on. It's a government building, you know.
Oh.
We're sorry, you're in.
United States calling Mr. Bruce Langdon.
Yes, Bruce.
Thank you. Mr. Bruce Langdon? Hello? Are we calling Mr. Bruce Langdon? Very noisy connection.
Yeah. Is Bruce Langdon on the line?
No, there's no one on the line there, sir. They left the line again.
I just heard something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I'm going to call it again. There was a clicking, but I don't think it was. There was no one on the line. I'll call that again.
That was a Rainy in Reorder. An encore performance.
Hello? I'm trying to get through, sir.
Thank you.
Right. This is United States calling. We're calling for Mr. Bruce Langdon.
What, sir?
Bruce Langdon.
None is.
He's not there? Do you know where we can reach him? Hello? Hello, sir?
Hello?
Yeah. Do you know where we can reach Mr. Langdon?
Mr. Langdon, finished.
He's finished? Did you understand him, sir?
No,
Because he's not there. Hello, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said Mr. Langdon wasn't there, but I don't think he knows where he is.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mr. Katz.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If nothing else, we have to pass out an award to that telephone operator for being the most patient person we've ever encountered. She hung on with us for about 45 minutes. And because it was a person-to-person call, we never even paid for it. Huh. How do you like that? 12:32, Saturday morning, Friday night, The Best of the Voice of Long Island, Part 2. And who could ever forget those men in brown who call themselves Campus Anxiety? Location is a large northeastern college campus. The people on this campus are living in constant fear of the unknown horrors that abound here. Illegally parked cars, expired registrations, invalid campus parking permits. The list goes on. Is there no hope? Can nothing be done to ease the suffering? Fortunately, there is a solution. A few brave men patrol this campus day and night, seeking to make right what appears to be wrong, and asking for nothing in return except a weekly paycheck. These are the faithful men in brown who call themselves Campus Anxiety.
Campus Anxiety.
Another Friday night, Ken. Looks like it's going to be a long one.
I'll say, Frank. There's never a dull moment on this campus when a weekend rolls around. Someone's always doing something wrong.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? But wasn't it last weekend we caught that guy pressing all the buttons in the elevators?
Oh,
led to 14 arrests. That did.
What a scandal. No, Frank, you're thinking of the weekend before that. Uh-oh. Yeah, last weekend was when we caught those four punks walking across the grass in front of the biology building.
You're right, Ken, you're right. Could you believe the fuss those juveniles put up when we slipped the cuffs on them? Almost as if they felt they weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah, it's the way that parents bring them up, I tell you. No respect, no regard for property.
Yeah, well, we'll see if prison life rehabilitates them at all.
Yeah, in about 2 to 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, sounds about right to me. You got the keys to the car, Ken?
No, I thought you had them.
Ken, you had them last night, remember?
No, I didn't.
Oh, not again. I tell you, we're the laughing stock of this entire campus. Do you know how many times we've locked ourselves out of our own patrol car?
7.
You mean 8 now?
No, it's still 7, Frank. The last time we lost them all together, so that doesn't really count.
Look, I don't care about that. What are we going to do? I mean, we're right here in the garage this time. Another anxiety officer is bound to pass by and see us.
Yeah.
We'll probably be reported to the anxiety chief. Plus, we've got a patrol to beat. I mean, we've got a beat to patrol.
Yeah.
We've got to get into that car.
All right. Stand back, Frank.
Ken, what are you going to do with that rock?
My, teenage vandalism is certainly on the increase.
Yes, it is. All right, now, this time you hold on to the keys. Oh, okay?
Okay, sure thing, Frank. If I can only get the damn thing started.
Yeah, give it some gas.
There. Whoa, whoops!
You can start giving it the gas now, Frank!
Alright,
let's get moving already.
Yeah.
Lord knows what kind of crimes are being committed out there already.
What time is it, Frank?
Well, it's after 11. Let's go to the dormitories. I think there's some good parties going on now.
And you know what that means?
I sure do. Trouble. Of all kinds. Well, I'm ready for it.
So am I. Hey, did you see that car?
Yeah, sure did, Ken. Let's go get him.
Boy, I can't believe people actually have the gall to travel around in a car like that. They must think we're blind.
Okay. Stop him. Well, you take care of it, Ken. I'll cover you from behind.
All right. But how can you cover me? We're supposed to be unarmed.
Would you stop arguing and get over there?
Right. Okay, fella, what's the idea of driving around like that?
What do you mean, officer? What did I do?
Stop playing dumb. I'm on to your tricks. Now, what's the idea of having that sticker on the back of your car?
What sticker? All I have is a drive carefully, school's open sticker.
Oh, so you admit it. Okay, buddy, what school is open at this time of night?
Come on.
It's after 11 o'clock on a Friday night, and no school is open now. There's no two ways about it. You're exhibiting false information on your bumper. I'm going to have to give you a summons.
Oh, come on, officer. Give me a break. I only have one of those stickers. I mean, if I take it off every night, it'll lose its stickiness.
I'm sorry. Rules are rules. They cannot be broken. The entire American judicial system rests upon this premise. Without it, we're certainly lost. I'm glad I didn't back down on that perpetrator. He had that ticket coming to him.
Yeah, but I don't think you had to give him that 25-minute speech about the founding of America.
Well, I thought it was relevant, Frank.
3 cars passed by with their license plate lights burned out, and we missed them.
Oh, don't be such a grouch, Frank. There'll be plenty of violations tonight.
I know, but let's not waste so much time.
All right. Hey, do you want to drive for a while, Frank?
No, not really. Why? Do you feel tired?
No, I just want to play with the radio a little bit.
I'll take care of the radio. You keep driving.
All right, but my God, do you see what I see?
Wow, that entire building is engulfed in flames. And look, there's a crowd of people with Molotov cocktails and firebombs and hand grenades. And another crowd next to them. They're looting and raping and pillaging. It looks like the entire building is being razed to the ground.
No, I mean next to that.
Oh, you mean the car that's parked on the grass.
You got it. Let's get over there now before it's too late.
I'm with you. You know, we don't miss a trick.
Just a couple of ordinary guys devoting their lives to keeping America's college campuses a little bit safer. You may be lucky enough to see them one day on your college campus. The men in brown, who call themselves campus anxiety.
Campus Anxiety is a fictional account. Any similarity to any person living, dead, or in between is totally uncoincidental.
Yes, we'll never forget those men in brown, the men of Campus Anxiety, a major part of the Voice of Long Island over the past year. It's 12:40 right now. You're listening to The Best of the Voice, Part 2, on WUSB Stony Brook. We have 3 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook right now, and 37 on the Fahrenheit scale. Be clearing windy, colder tonight with the low around 30 by morning. Tomorrow mostly sunny and cold with highs in the mid-30s, and tomorrow night should be cloudy, becoming a bit milder with a chance of rain late tomorrow night. Lows will be in the 30s, and Sunday will be rainy and windy with temperatures rising into the low 40s. I'm Eric Corley. Mike Juhas is not here. He's out gallivanting somewhere, but it doesn't matter. We don't need him. We have his voice on tape, so we'll be talking to him later on via the tape machine and that kind of thing. Well, we'll also be playing another Iranian telephone call a bit later on in the evening, in case you want to hear some more fun. This one's a really funny one. A lot of amusing circumstances happened during the course of that conversation. Quote-unquote conversation, let's say. Right now, though, for all you folks who've been wondering what's been going on with the Tripod family over the past few months, well, this is your chance.
Topeka for the Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms with a special catch-up edition of the Tripod Family. Last week we got up to the point where Kathy had left Howard because she thought that he had run off with some famous French actress down in Whidney Island. This week we're going to suffice to say that eventually that was cleared up, because otherwise it would take us too long to go through the heartache and drama that this series has presented to us. At this point, because Kathy has rented out the Tripod house to another family, the Tripods must find something to do for 2 weeks, and Howard decides to go on a vacation. As we join the Tripods now, they're deciding where they want to go.
Oh, this is so exciting. There's so many places I've been wanting to go to, Howard.
Yeah, me too, Kathy. That's why I think we should try and get the most out of the 2 weeks we have.
I'll say.
Do something adventurous and exciting.
Oh, I could use a little excitement. In a good sort, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie, where's that atlas of yours? There are a few places I want to look at.
I have it right here. I figured you'd be needing it.
Oh, good. Let's look around a little.
Oh. Stop there, Kathy. Oh, South America. Hey, that's one continent I haven't seen.
Oh, it's supposed to be lovely this time of year down there.
Yeah, look at all those different countries. You know, they're in a different time zone or something. Well, the seasons are different, I think. They have winter now and we have summer.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. And when we have winter, they have summer. It's never the same.
So right now it's the end of winter down in La Pampa?
Right, it's the end of summer here. If it's the end of summer here, it must be the end of winter down there.
Really?
Yeah, it's like that below the equator. In Africa, it's like that. I think China is like that. That's below the equator. In Antarctica, it's now summertime. It's wintertime, I'm sorry. There are so many different countries down there anyway. I just don't feel I know the first thing about any of them.
Well, you've heard of Venezuela, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
There it is right here.
Yeah.
And look, Argentina. Now, you know that one, don't you?
Look, there's Brazil over there. Everybody's heard about Brazil.
And Chile.
And
Peru.
Yeah, well, I've heard of all those countries. I just don't know the first thing about any of them. I don't know anything about the people. I don't know
I don't even know what language they speak down there.
Ooh.
So I wouldn't want to go into a country or even a continent where I don't know anything about what's going on down there. That's the only thing I feel kind of insecure about.
Oh, I see what you mean. I agree.
They speak Spanish down there, don't they?
Well, some of them do. I think they also speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of got... Why would they be speaking Portuguese if they're not in Portugal?
Well, they should speak... Where, all over South America?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody...
They should speak Brazilian if they speak anything, and Argentinian, or...
Colombian?
Well, look at all these countries. They should speak... there should be a different... Well, maybe...
Mato Grosso?
Kathy, I guess it doesn't work that way, because we don't speak American here. We speak English, and England is over on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, so...
Mm-hmm.
The name carries... That's what happens. The name carries over.
So conceivably, these countries were colonies... Of Portugal.
That could be very well.
Ooh.
We are learning something about South America.
Oh, look, Cordoba. Santa Fe.
Yeah, yeah. Buenos Aires, Rio Grande.
Ooh. Ooh. Minas Gerais. That sounds like a tennis player.
Bahia. All right. You know, we're probably not even pronouncing these names right, Kathy.
We'll
make fools of ourselves if we go down there.
Oh, I'm sure we
will. Look at these little countries. Guyana and Suriname. That's kind of funny. I always thought Suriname was a part of China.
Oh, no. It used to be called Dutch Guiana, remember? Then they changed the name.
They don't speak Chinese in South America, Howard. Everybody knows that.
Here are two countries I've often wondered about. Paraguay and Uruguay. Two Quays. I wonder if they're at all related. Maybe brothers or sisters.
There's probably some sort of an old Greek legend or something that... Well, I guess it wouldn't be Greek. I'm not sure. But, oh, look at this. This is something kind of interesting. That's pretty strange, actually.
What is it, Howard?
Well, look at Bolivia over here. According to this map, they have two capitals.
Really?
Yeah, and then you see one is La Paz over here, and the other is Sucre... Sucre or something like that, right down there, you see?
That is a bit unusual. I wonder if they're allowed to do that.
Well, why shouldn't they be? We have 51 capitals over here in the States, don't we?
No. But, Charlie, what you're talking about are state capitals. We only have one national capital.
Right. That's Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Washington, D.C., yes. Yeah, now if a country our size can get by with just one capital... I don't see why a tiny place like Bolivia needs two. I wonder if the United Nations knows about that.
Well, now look, if we're going to start getting these countries into trouble, why don't we go to another part of the world when we do it, you know? After all, we don't want to be there when they find out they can't have two capitals because we reported them.
That would be a problem. Well, why don't you turn to Europe, Charlie?
Okay. All right. I think you'll be even more confused over there, though.
Howard and Kathy finally decide to go to France for the simple reason that Kathy, in her excitement, knocks over a valuable statue of Charlie's. The only other existing copy lies somewhere in France, and Kathy is determined to find it. But as Howard and Kathy are on their way to France, they run into a mysterious stranger on the boat who causes quite a bit of consternation.
Ah, Madame Tripod. A long time it has been, no?
What? Who are you? How do you know my name?
Ah, it is not easy to forget a lady such as yourself, Madame. You are strictly one of a kind.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I only wish I could...
Who is this person, Kathy?
Well, I don't know, Howard. He seems to know me, though.
For many years I have looked long and hard for some clue as to where you might have disappeared to.
Howard... This is pretty scary. I honestly don't know who this person is. Or how he knows me.
Well, why don't you just ask him straight out?
I suppose that's the only way. Excuse me, sir. But who did...
What? Madame Chabot, I hope you have not hurt yourself.
Ooh.
Oh, Kathy, are you okay?
Oh, I think so.
Here. Let me give you...
Are you okay?
It is because we are standing on La Flor de Sleep. We should move indoors, where it is dry.
I think I'd rather stay here and watch the high seas, you know. Motion sickness, you know. How about you, Howard?
I just hope I didn't wrench my back out of place again.
Oh, screwdriver it!
That's not funny, Kathy. I always seem to be doing that lately. I have some pain back here. Hey, where did your mysterious friend go?
I don't know, Howard. He was standing there just a moment ago.
When they arrive in France, Howard and Kathy, through a bizarre coincidence, run into an old acquaintance of the statue maker who made the famous statue for which they are now searching. His name is Boris, and he leads them to the opening of the Nice sewer system, where the statue is believed to be hiding.
This is the opening to the sewer system?
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. It looks like a regular door, but it's actually the entrance to the true underworld.
Wow. Mm. You know, it's hard to even think that there's a whole other world beneath the streets of Nice, which we're now standing on.
Mm. It's kind of eerie, don't you think, Howard?
Yeah, I agree. Sure.
We're going to be down there in the dark with all sorts of strange creatures.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mice?
Really?
Rats?
Oh.
Lizards and all sorts of things.
You know, you don't have to go down there if you don't want to, Kathy.
And cockroaches, too.
None of us have to go down there. But after all, it's only a statue.
Why, Mr. Tripod, surely you are not frightened of the sewers?
Me? Well, no, of course not. That is, as long as there aren't any slimy plants.
Oh, Howard, don't be like that. Where's your sense of...
I know. Where's my sense of adventure? Okay, fine. Let's go into the sewers. Let's go.
Are you quite certain, Mr. Tripod?
I'm positive, Boris. Go on. Lead the way. Let's go hunting for the statue.
Very well. I'll simply open the door, and then we may proceed. Oh.
Holy cow. Look at that. It's pitch dark. You can't see a thing.
Then how can I look at it?
You have a pack of matches in your pocketbook, don't you, Kathy?
I think so.
Why don't you strike one so we can see where we are?
That's a good idea, Howard. Well, let me fish around for a little bit.
Gosh, what a place. I get the feeling that it goes on for miles.
It most certainly does. In fact, sewers are said by many to be quite similar to telephone lines.
In what way, Boris?
Eventually, one way or another, they all interconnect.
Do you mean that we could get virtually anywhere in Europe by traveling around here in the sewers?
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. Asia as well.
Oh.
Most people do not consider the sewers to be a viable travel option, however.
I never dreamed it was so complex.
Yes. In fact, many wars could have been won if the sewers were used to transport troops.
Well, why weren't they?
The going gets very rough at times, and there is nobody that possesses the maps for all of the many systems. So there was no guarantee that the troops could avoid getting helplessly lost.
How about that? Did you find a match yet, Kathy?
Yes, and I'm going to light it.
Oh, wow. Endless corridors. In every direction imaginable.
It's so huge.
Yes, how are we ever going to find out where that statue is?
I have heard rumors that the statue is underneath Wally Truberg Street, which is on the other side of town.
But how do we get there from here?
Well, it's easy enough to find above ground. However, there's no entrance to the sewers that I know of over there. So we must get there somehow using one of these passageways.
Which one? The odds must be 1,000 to 1 against us.
That is a decision which must be made logically and scientifically.
Well, I suppose you know more about that kind of stuff than Kathy or I do. After all, I get the impression that you've been dealing with things like this for most of your life. And the biggest thing we've had to do is try to adjust to life in our new Long Island home.
Based upon careful calculations, I would say the best path to take would be that little one to the right, over there.
Ooh.
That should take us where we're going.
Gosh, I certainly hope so. I'd really like to find the statue as quickly as possible. Not that I mind being here. I'm not scared or anything like that. Kathy, what is it? What's wrong? Did you see a ghost or a monster or something?
No! I burned myself with this match!
Howard, Kathy, and Boris are eventually successful in locating the treasure, and they are about to leave the tunnel system when they find...
Look! Straight ahead!
A door. I didn't see that before.
Probably because it was wide open before.
And now it's closing. We're going to have to run to get out.
Come on!
Oh, no. We're too late.
And So at last report, the tripods are stuck in the Nice sewer system somewhere in France. Meanwhile, back home on Long Island, Pop Tripod and next-door neighbor Charlie are busy planning a new business enterprise that involves baking bread.
Well, it's not quite that simple, Mr. Tripod. I mean, first of all, we need customers. And the only way to get them is to let them know we exist somehow.
Well, how do we do that?
We have to take out a newspaper ad or do a commercial or something along those lines.
That's a great idea. Let's do it.
Well, which do you want to do, Mr. Tripod?
All of them.
But we can't do all of that. At least not yet.
Why the devil not?
Because it costs money, Mr. Tripod. Lots of money. More than either of us have, I'm sure.
But you just found $50,000 worth of diamonds in that statue Kathy broke.
Well, that's true, but you're forgetting how quickly all that money got spent. And don't forget, I bought that Bulgarian step van, so I've made an investment in our corporation already.
Are you hinting that I should put some of my money into this business too, Charlie?
Well, you don't have to invest all that much, Mr. Tripod. But since we are going into this bread-baking business together, we should share equally, both the profits and the losses.
Wait just one doggone minute! You never said anything about losses. I'm doing this so I could make a lot of money and buy a sports car or something. I'm not planning on losing anything.
Well, neither am I, Mr. Tripod, but everybody knows that in order to make a lot of money, you have to first spend a little.
Oh, I don't know, Charlie.
Trust me, I've done this kind of thing many times before.
Yeah, all right. Let's say we do invest a little money. What are we going to spend it on?
Well, at this point, I'd say the only thing we could really afford is a low-budget radio commercial.
A radio commercial?
Yes, but we'd have to make it ourselves.
We can do that.
Well, it's not as easy as it sounds, Mr. Tripod.
Well, I know I could do it anyway.
Well, it takes some practice, you know.
I've been on the radio before, you know.
You have?
Yeah. They asked me what I thought of President Eisenhower. And I told them...
Well, that's good that you've had some experience. I guess we should contact one of the big radio stations and make an appointment. Where's your phone book?
Right over there, on that shelf. Oh, I can see it now. A radio commercial. Millions of people.
I'll get that, Mr. Tripod.
I wonder who on tarnation that could be.
Yes? What can I do? Oh, my gosh.
Charlie! What is it?
And so Charlie is shot at the front door of the Tripod house by an unknown assailant for unclear reasons. And that is where the saga of the Tripod family lies today. If you want to continue to tune in coming weeks, when we may find out who shot Charlie and what's happening to Howard and Kathy in the sewer system of Nice. That's the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka, wishing you a happy new year.
Oh, Chris Greenberg is here too, our news director. I don't know if they're in the mood. They seem to be getting kind of...
Well, they were singing it before.
Singing it before. They were in a sort of jovial mood then. Now they seem to be getting sort of...
Silent
is the word.
Is...
You see, they want to go inside and get warm. I can't say that I disagree.
Hello, Eric. Is the early morning riser there?
Excuse me?
Is the early morning riser there?
No, I don't. He's been missing, actually, the last couple of weeks.
I see.
I don't know where he is.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, can I speak to...
I see him down here. I don't expect to see him down here.
Can I speak to Frank Burgert, then?
Excuse me?
Frank Burgert.
What about him?
Can I talk to him?
Could you scream, maybe?
Can I talk to Frank Burgert?
No, I'm afraid that will not be possible. He's not in a state to talk to people right now.
Oh, okay.
You'll know what I mean. It's a good day. Charlie Baxter's has just arrived after paying the full tab.
Uh-huh.
Charlie wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Here he is. Who am I dealing with?
Hello, Charlie. How are you? You're on the air on Radio Free Long Island.
I ripped off in a French restaurant. You know, you really should watch out for French restaurants. They rip you off.
What did you have? Crepes?
The name
name of this place, but wait a minute. These people are wild. It has this large metallic pig hanging from the ceiling.
It
not
sounds
to be confused with the waiter, who sort of has
sounds,
a slight resemblance.
It sort of sounds like the early morning riser, doesn't it?
What's that?
It sort of sounds like the early morning riser, doesn't it?
This person over here? No. That's one of the Georgetown derelicts. They have these derelicts. They float through the air. I'm going to give you back to senior derelicts. Here's another one.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike. Welcome back.
Okay, welcome back.
Okay, we are frigid now, so we have...
Well, hey, listen, that's not my problem.
Why do you... Don't take me out of context, please.
Well, what kind of context do you want me to take you in?
All I need to say is we're cold. We're very cold. Oh, boy. A police car is coming down the road right now at a rather swift gait. I'll tell you what. I will hold on to this conversation until the police car passes us by.
Okay, I want
to
hear the siren.
I will have to say goodbye and call you back a little later on. All right? Okay, hold on. You guys, run across the street, get out of sight. I'll hide behind a phone booth, okay? Out of sight, now! Get away! Thank the entire city of Washington for putting on that little show for us.
Sounds like a riot.
Thank you for listening. And long live the spirit of Radio Free Long Island.
Well, you're going to call us back a little later on, right?
Back in a couple of hours or so, and carry on.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye,
Sonny. Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye, Long Island.
Bye-bye.
Another memorable moment from the Voice of Long Island. It's 10 minutes after 1 o'clock. You are tuned to the best of the Voice. And coming up, we have quite a few more exciting things that we've done over the past year, including an interview with Curtis Sliwa, the head of the Guardian Angels, an interview with Peter Tosh, a tape of the Nixon resignation speech in dub, the abduction and release of our own Sidney Schreiber. Something coming up right now that's kind of hard for me to talk about because it's something that happened to me personally. And well, Mike wanted me to play this. I sort of freaked out once on the air. Yeah, I admit it. I freaked out on the air. I went kind of crazy. I'm sort of a super patriotic binge, as Mike put it. Why don't we just listen and you'll see what I mean.
And for some reason, we can't hear Erica in the other room.
Why not?
Probably because you're sitting... Try that one you're next
to.
Oh,
boy, it's nice to know that people are counting.
Hey, that one works.
What? I don't hear myself.
I can hear you.
I think you're talking...
No, maybe try that other one over...
It's that one all the way over there.
Over there.
Boy, Mike, you know, you really,
Sorry.
This one? Oh, no, it's not that one either.
You know... That's the one.
That's the one. You put me at the mic that's farthest away from the one that works, and I think you did that deliberately, too.
No, I didn't, actually.
Okay, well, here I am on the other side of the room, and a very good morning to all of you out there. It's, yes, it's time for Radio Free Long Island again.
We've been hit. No, we've hit you.
We've hit you, and we're not going to stop until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Or unless the playback engineer gets tired and goes home.
That's right. May 2nd, 1981, was bound to be an historical day somehow in this world of ours. Yesterday, of course, well, this Friday was inauguration day here at Stony Brook, and anyone who...
And also the day of the big USB staff party.
That's true, too.
Which we're at right now.
We're probably at it right now, which means when we're not really here. I don't understand it myself.
So don't call us up asking to speak to us.
No, well, you'll get as much as you usually do anyway if you call up asking to
no,
speak
No, you'll probably
us.
Get even less.
Maybe.
Well, no, we shouldn't say that because the playback engineer who's listening to this tape probably isn't even listening to it, so we can say...
He's
we
probably in the other room listening to records, so it doesn't make a difference. We can say anything we want about him. We can say he looks funny, he's all sorts of things about like that.
Or could even be a she.
That's true, too.
Right.
In which case, we can really get brutal, but we don't have to get into that now.
Mm-hmm.
How's your week been?
Well, up till Wednesday, it's been okay.
Yeah.
Past Wednesday, I don't know what's happened.
Well, mine's been pretty good the whole way through. Certainly better than last week when, what a terrible week that was.
Yeah.
But things seem to be picking up. School's almost out. Spring is here. And, oh, wow. I want to tell you, when you're outside and the temperature is in the 70s,
it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful.
You know, proud to be an American for one thing and just proud to be alive is basically it. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you bought yourself a new car, true?
Yes, I did, in fact.
Was it an American car?
It was not. You mentioned it. It was a 64 Chevy.
Uh-oh, you're not supposed to say brand names.
Oh, well, all right, forget it then. It was a 64 car, an American-made car, by the way. And yes, it's interesting you pointed that out because it seems to me that most people do buy American cars these days. The older cars last a lot longer. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a 64 Fiat or, you know, a 64 Jaguar?
Yeah, right.
Or a 64 Toyota hanging out, you know,
yeah,
until
well,
these days.
I have a 1965 Plymouth.
It doesn't happen that often.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
American cars, they last a lot longer than any other foreign cars.
Well,
did you ever see, you know, an intersection when there's an accident with a foreign car and an American car? The American car is always the one that totals the foreign car, and the American car is always left in one piece, and the people in that are, you know, alive and well and everything. But the foreign car, oh, it may save gas mileage, but it gets totaled, and it gets totally destroyed.
No, I never noticed that.
Well, it happens. Let me tell you something. Because the people in America
uh-huh.
know how to build cars.
Uh-huh.
They know how to build cars. They know how to do lots of things. America's the only country I know of where you can have a presidential inauguration on a Friday, you know, with the university president. It's the only uh-huh. country I know where you can even go to a university like this.
Uh-huh.
It's the only country I know of where you can have a program like Radio Free Long Island. We can have people like the Tripod family, Sidney Schreiber,
right.
Harvey Hunter,
right.
all
right.
these people.
Uh-huh.
It's the only country I know of like that.
Uh-huh.
You can't do that in France. You
well,
can't
I'm
do
sure
that
you
in Turkey.
Can.
You can't do it in Bengal or wherever that place is, South America,
right. uh-huh.
Antarctica. You can't
uh-huh.
do anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
Eric,
anyone who's not proud to be an American is crazy. I don't understand it.
Hello, Eric.
And it's this time of year when you realize that more than anything. When the sun is out and the birds are singing and the trees are
but
blue.
But the sun shines in other countries as well.
I don't care. It's not the same sun.
Eric,
it rises over our ocean. It comes up over our sky. It's our sun. It's an American
you're on
sun
the West
out there.
Coast.
An American
Eric, suppose you're on the West Coast of the United States. The sun doesn't rise over their ocean.
Okay, no, but they believe us when we say it just rose over our ocean, don't they?
You coconut, you should have said, well, it sets.
Well,
over
I was going to say that
ocean.
Next. It does set over their ocean. That's our ocean too, because it's a big land. It's a great big land.
Are you about done?
No, I'm not. There's plenty to
well,
say.
Well, hey,
about
listen.
America.
Well, you can save it.
We got 50 states going from coast to coast, plains to forest. You got your Alaska. You got your New Mexico. You got everything here.
Don't forget the mountains.
Come on.
Okay.
How can people badmouth this land? It's you know, we have interests abroad, we have interests here, we have all sorts of things.
Well,
it's,
you know,
it's a fantastic place.
Do you think you're actually holding the interest of our listeners?
I don't care about that. I just wanted to say what's on my
mind.
Well,
hey, listen, I'm just
going to
turn your volume down here. And
that's not fair. You can't do that. That's taking away my rights as an American. I have certain rights as an American, and I intend to hold on to them while I'm still an American.
I'm just going to turn your mic off completely.
Well, that's something... You're a communist, Mike.
Oh, okay.
You're a communist, and you don't deserve to be on this American airwave of ours. But furthermore, When was the last time you ever heard of a country that had democratic elections?
Huh?
Every 4 years. Every year, in fact, we elect somebody to something.
I've had about bloody enough of what you have to say.
It's always I.
I don't know what's happened to Eric. The last 20, 10 minutes or so, he's been screaming on, babbling about
Singapore,
about how great America is.
Japan,
let's just
we
join him in progress right now.
Huh? Fiji, El Salvador, Ecuador,
El Salvador,
Austria, Bahrain, huh? Do you find any countries like America anywhere? German Democratic Republic.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. This man has totally flipped. Unless I can fit in Eric.
Who gives a damn about Papua New Guinea?
The people who live there.
That's the only thing that matters. Ireland, Israel, Italy, Iran, Hong Kong, Honduras, Haiti.
Eric, are you just about done?
Sweden, Venezuela, Vatican City, United Kingdom, Al Kuwait. Can you even believe that's a country, folks? Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah.
He sounds a little bit deranged now. But, I don't know. Eric, I guess he hasn't come down off his little... Maybe I'm just going to go straight right into a song.
America's the only place. Don't you understand? Don't you see?
This guy's going to start getting mad. I don't know. What's happened to the man? Eric, are you just about done?
I have not yet begun to fight.
Oh, no. Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Through the mountains.
And I don't know exactly what's happened to Eric. Eric has
through the oceans.
Gone off the deep end here.
Something else.
And we don't know how to control this guy.
Bless America.
He's gone on a patriotic binge, and I can't even talk over the guy. So what I'm going to do, and I was going to start singing a la Kate Smith, so let's just turn him off for a minute. Now, I'm going to be accepting telephone calls. If you have any way in that you think you can keep Eric off this patriotic binge, why don't you give us a call? Let's see, do we have a caller? Yes, we have a caller. Oh boy, what's happening here? Well, here we are with our first caller. Can I help? What's your idea?
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on the? Oh, I can hear myself. I'm on the air. I was listening to what happened to you. It sounds terrible. Is your co-host just babbling on about America without stopping?
That's exactly what he's doing. Can you help us in any way?
Well, I might be able to. You see, I had a cousin once. He lived in France, and the same thing happened to him, except, of course, he was talking about France. He went on for, I think, about 20 minutes without stopping for breath or anything, and
That's exactly what's happened to Eric.
How long? I just tuned in. I just got home from work. Has he been gone for a long time?
Close to an hour.
Well, it's possible, then, that he might have already repeated himself. You see, what happens sometimes is it's like a loop. They reach the end of it, and they start again.
Uh-huh.
And I think the best time to catch them, to make them stop, is at the end of one of those loops when they're about to start repeating themselves again. You sort of give them a jolt. And that's what I did to my cousin.
I see.
In France. I gave him a jolt when he finished. It was like a five-second pause.
Well,
he stopped. Because I don't know, he might be going continuously.
Yeah.
America's a bigger country than France. You might be able to go for a longer period of time without repeating.
Well, now your cousin went for like 20 minutes and started repeating, right?
Yeah. Well, he paused, and I assumed he was going to start repeating then. And he looked like he was remembering everything that he had said, so he could start again.
I see. Well, then, let me take a look at Eric.
What's he doing now?
He's in there. He's just pounding his hands on the table, and I think he's contracting to get a marching band in there as well.
Oh, no. It's possible you might need some professional help, because my sister once told me, too, that she heard of a case in, I think it was Yugoslavia. No, it was Czechoslovakia, in fact, where somebody could not stop. He was going for, I think, 2 weeks, and they finally had to execute him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, well, then we better have something to do about that.
Try the loop. See what happens.
Okay,
we'll
see if he starts repeating, and we'll wait for the loop.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Good luck, Mike.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I think you're going to need it.
Okay, thank you for calling. Okay, all right. So, you all know our phone number. And, let's see, do we have another phone call? Do we? Yes, we do.
I think you should shoot the bloody bastard.
Okay, let's go to the next caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are.
Yes, what you have, I'm a doctor. I'm calling from Smithtown.
Mm-hmm.
What you have here is a case of super patriotism. It seems to have appeared with the Reagan era. A lot of people are talking about a new beginning,
uh-huh.
And they can't really stop. It sort of reaches the point in them where they just it bursts out, and they can't stop talking about it. It's kind of sad, actually, because a lot of times there are false hopes in their heads, and they're just sort of letting them go,
right?
In a hopeful sort of sense, hoping that some hieroglyphic monography will manifest itself.
Well, what do you suggest we do, sir?
What I would suggest is to bring him into my office immediately.
Uh-huh.
I charge $75 an hour, but I can guarantee.
I'm sorry, you're not allowed to mention prices on
non-commercial
radio.
So if you can bring him in as quickly as possible, my office is.
Okay, we've had enough about that call from that caller there. Let's see, are we waiting for another phone call? Okay, here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling from Bayshore.
Uh-huh. And how is the weather down in Bayshore? Can you help us?
Oh, it's just bad weather tonight.
Uh-huh.
It's freezing cold outside, and oh, I just planted some marigolds, and they're wilting already.
Oh, boy.
What can I do?
Well, this is not gardening hour.
You brought it up.
We are requesting advice on how we can help our co-host Eric snap out of his patriotic binge.
What's wrong with him?
He's been on a patriotic binge.
For how long?
For over an hour now.
Oh, dear. That's too bad.
Uh-huh.
Wish I could help, but I'm...
You sound exactly like the first caller.
I do?
Yes, you do.
I wasn't even listening. I'm trying to call my uncle.
Oh, I'm sorry you have the wrong number. Goodbye. Okay, now let's just move on to the next caller. Waiting for the phones to ring, and one more caller. Oh, there's the phone. Okay, hello, hello.
Hello,
you're on the air.
I'm on the what?
On the air.
I thought you're putting the calls on the air?
Yes, we are.
Oh, no. I didn't want to be on the air.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you.
Alrighty, so there's the gist of our help. We're going to take a look, see if Eric starts repeating himself, and if he does, we're going to have to get a lightning bolt to come in and strike him once on the head.
All right, it's start time.
In case you just tuned in here, you're listening to Radio Free Long Island.
My name's Mike Juhas, and Eric Corley is in the other room babbling away patriotically. And you never know what's going to happen next. Uh-oh, somebody's here. Let's see. Come on in.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, are you on the air now?
Yes, I am on the air.
I don't want to interrupt.
Who are you?
I'm sorry. I was just working downstairs, and I happened to hear what was going on over the radio. There's
right.
a radio downstairs. Is that him in there?
Yeah, that's Eric.
Oh.
Why, were you listening?
Yes, I was, and he looks pretty bad. How long has he been going for?
About an hour, close to about an hour and a half now.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you something. Your name's Mike?
Yes, it is.
Mike, I'll tell you something.
Who are you?
My name's Joe. I was fixing the walls downstairs. It was sort of falling apart.
Yeah, you know, I got a question to ask you, too.
Yeah.
How come it was yesterday I saw all these brand new white waste paper baskets on the campus?
That's probably Fred who did that. I don't do anything with white paper baskets.
Did that have anything
baskets.
To do with the inauguration of the president?
No, it's a coincidence pretty much. So, you know, these things happen this time of year. They repave the road, they make new garbage cans.
But how come that only happens?
Repaint the bricks, that type of stuff, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, how come that only happens, though, in the midst of an inauguration?
Well, you know, if inaugurations happen in the winter time or something, you wouldn't see that. But they happen in the spring, and so does all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
New garbage cans, you don't get new garbage cans in the fall, do you? Huh?
I guess right.
Oh.
Well, be sure to give Fred our best...
I'll tell him that, Mike, and I want to thank you for, you know, letting me come up here like this.
Yeah,
I got to
well,
be going
now.
No,
wait a minute. What's your solution?
Oh, I almost forgot. Oh, yes. I had a brother. He lived in San Francisco, and once this happened to him, except he was more on the West Coast United States side of things. He was, you know, not totally American patriotic, more Westernized.
Right.
And it was a shock to me anyway, because I had never seen such a thing before. But I used my common sense, and I just said things that might get him unpatriotic, you know?
And?
Really, one word type things.
Oh,
know?
I see what you mean. It's like word association, and he starts hearing you.
He can hear you, can he?
Look, I think he can, but I'm not sure of that fact. Look at him in there. It looks like there's nothing's going to bother him.
Can he hear me now?
He's got a marching band, and no, he can't. He can't.
Can you just make it so he can hear me for a second? I'd just like to see if he reacts to the sound of my voice.
Let me just throw the right switch here.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
He can. I think he can hear you now.
Hey, Bozo.
You.
Yeah. You see him?
He jumped up. Okay. Well.
All right. Well, since he can hear us, that's a good sign. In another 40 minutes or so, I don't think he'd be able to hear us anymore. What I would suggest doing, though, is the word association. You know.
Yeah.
Do you want to get that?
I'll get it later.
Okay. So word association is a very important thing. Say some words that would get him unpatriotic again, you know. It's sort of like, what can I think of? Nixon. Say Nixon. Nixon's a good one. Watergate. Very good.
I get it.
Very good.
I get it.
Vietnam.
Okay.
Say Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Try repeating those things to him. It worked to my brother. It might not work for him, but...
You had a brother and it was like this, too?
In San Francisco, yes. It worked like that, you know? Like that.
Uh-huh.
So,
Yeah.
Try it. Okay, I got to get moving, all right?
Okay, now what did you
say? Those walls
are
falling down downstairs.
Fred? No,
my name's Joe. Fred is my partner. He does some work with me, too.
Okay.
Okay, so I got to run along now, but best of luck to you and all your listeners, and I'll see you probably later.
Okay, well, thank you for coming.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was certainly a nice piece of news, a suggestion from somebody who happened to be downstairs. I'm going to try that while right after this song. Another tune for you here on Radio Free Long Island.
The hell with the Soviets. The hell with the Red Chinese. The hell with the regular Chinese.
As you can hear, Eric's in the background having problems of sorts.
Especially the hell with Nicaragua. And, who cares about them? Mongolia.
We have a little solution. Let me just turn him down for a little bit there. We have a proposed solution. A fellow came up and we should.
Angola.
Well, let's try.
Who cares about it? Who cares about anything?
Nixon.
Best. America is best. Buy American. Buy American.
Not working.
Don't
just
buy
yet.
A single import. And all you people out in other countries, you buy American too.
Vietnam.
We got America. Stand beside her, and guide her.
Uh-huh.
Star-Spangled Banner, America the Beautiful. All those great songs written about. How many great songs can you think about Chad, huh?
Else.
Huh? Or about Niger, or even Nigeria?
Federal
or anything
Bureau
else.
Of Investigation.
Or the Soviet Union. Or Bulgaria. Or Romania. Or some people say Romania. They can't even know, they don't even know how to say their own damn country. How many times can you say United States of America? There's only one way to say it.
Else.
USA, the good old USA. Apple pie. And brand names of cars that we can't say over the air. But
Chrysler.
What the hell, say it anyway. Chevrolet. Huh? What do you think of that?
Chrysler Corporation. Seems to be
talking about a draft. You people should be happy to fight for your country. You should be marching up there to the front lines right away. You shouldn't have to wait for them to call
intervention
you.
Intervention in
That's
El Salvador.
About that. That's what you should be doing. You should not have to... You should...
I think it's working. We'll be back shortly.
Well, folks, that was the early part of this year, and as it turned out, I did recover, and I apologize for that little scene that I put on. It won't happen again, at least not in the same way. Listening to the best of the Voice of Long Island Part 2. I'm Eric Corley. I'll be here until 3 o'clock in the morning, along with the absent Mike Juhas, who isn't. Had a lot of consternation and comment about people's stereo lights going out. Well, folks, it's all because of you. You've been concentrating and making them go out. And maybe in the next half hour you can make them go out again. Just concentrate. We can do it. Make those stereo lights go out. But coming up next on The Voice, we have something that's kind of sadly in time. It was an interview that was conducted on February 14th, 1981, with the head of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa. Now, just this past Wednesday, as you may have heard, a Guardian Angel was shot to death by a cop in New Jersey. In fact, we have this story on it. A county prosecutor in New Jersey was taking over the investigation of the shooting death last Wednesday night of a Guardian Angel in Newark. A Guardian Angel squad leader, who is 26-year-old Frank Melvin, was shot and killed by a policeman who police say was on a rooftop. However, WNBC-TV in New York reported today that an autopsy of the victim appears to validate the Guardian Angel's account of the killing and contradict the police version. Guardian Angels founder Curtis Sliwa, who we will be playing the interview we had with in a few moments, has charged the shots were actually fired by an officer rather than the one named by the police and at street level. WNBC quotes Newark Medical Examiner Thomas Santoro as saying he found the slug did not travel at an angle. That's the way it would have gone if it had been fired from a roof. Santoro is reported to have concluded the bullet traveled horizontally straight through Melvin's body. Sliwa says Melvin was murdered in cold blood in his tracks, and he calls the police probe a Mickey Mouse investigation. We'll have more on that when we do the 155 newscast coming up in a little while. Right now, though, we're going to rebroadcast the interview that the Voice of Long Island did with Curtis Sliwa, head of the Guardian Angels, on February 14th, 1981.
Well, police say 10 Guardian Angels and one other person were arrested Friday, yesterday, after a wild melee on a subway train in Brooklyn in which one police officer was injured. A spokesman for the Guardian Angels says the free-for-all occurred when the group stumbled onto a police stakeout, a story police denied. Details are sketchy, but Transit Sergeant Patrick Kinahan said the incident occurred on an A train between Rockaway and Utica Avenues. He said it appears that the fracas started with an altercation between one of the Guardian Angels, a volunteer group that patrols subways, and other portions of the city to combat crime, and a passenger. Well, what do you say, Eric?
We have right now Curtis Sliwa on the telephone.
Can I press this button?
Sure. He is the leader of the Guardian Angels. Why don't you close that window?
Oh, close the window. Okay. Sounds like a good idea. Hello, Curtis, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing?
Fine. Eric?
Well, maybe you'd like to tell us, in your words, what it was that happened tonight.
Well, apparently there was a group of Guardian Angels on patrol, a northbound train coming into Manhattan from Brooklyn, an A train, one of the worst trains in the city. And they had gotten on the train at a particular station and were unaware that there was a police undercover unit on surveillance of the train on a stakeout. Train was crowded as it went from stop to stop. And there was an individual laid out on a seat in the last car who it was appeared to be an undercover police officer playing it off like he was a drunk and that he had money. At that particular point, a regular citizen had gone up to him and had gotten involved with him in terms of trying to take him off, you know, rip him off. The Angels interceded. Also, the undercover police officers came running into the car. An altercation ensued because the Angels didn't know who the cops were. They were not dressed. They were dressed like citizens, and they didn't identify themselves. And then the police officers pulled their guns out, knocked the Angels to the floor, handcuffed 13 of them, paraded them out of the station into a van and brought them down to a precinct where I could not get any information at the time. I was just stonewalled until I got information from some witnesses and some Angels on the scene who indicate that the cops were pissed off because they had blown their stakeout. And it was just a matter of, you know, once again, a common situation between Guardian Angels and the transit police, who really do not want us out there to begin with and have done anything and anything to attempt to harass us and to get us off those trains. And they're not going to stop. They're just going to keep doing it. They've done it since day one, and I don't expect them to stop tomorrow.
Now, it's kind of coincidental that you should suddenly make the news in this sort of a way on your second anniversary. It was 2 years ago, I believe, February 13th, 1979.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think it's coincidental. I think there's a means in everything that happens. There's a reason for it happening. But I'm not satisfied with what took place. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a response have you gotten from non-policemen in general?
The public at large.
Oh, overwhelming support. That's what's kept us going amidst all this harassment and this controversy that's been surrounding us, is the fact that even though many political officials have attempted to knock us out of the box, and the particular police unions have really gone out of their way in trying to indicate that the angels really shouldn't be even allowed to patrol. It's been the support of the public that's kept us going and is continuing us in our efforts to grow and expand to places like California, Connecticut, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, Long Island, and Westchester.
Could you detail your plans for Long Island? What are you doing here?
Oh, in the process of the Long Island Patrol, there are groups patrolling the Long Island Railroad depots, the malls, because they have so many problems attached to them, and also a street patrol now forming in Freeport, because the problems there are consistently. Apartments and buildings keep getting broken into during the daytime hours. When the family is either away at work and the children are at school, it's a constant situation that people out in Long Island have begun to just live with and accept, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that you have to walk away from your house, and every time you walk away, you have to fear that it's going to be broken into.
Now, part of your theory rests on the fact that the police officers have failed to secure any sort of safety from this criminal activity. What do you see as the reason for this? Why have the policemen failed? Why can't they keep the streets safe for the average citizen?
Well, it's not necessarily that. It's just that the people are no longer actively involved as they once were. Originally, the people would always come to the aid of one another 30, 40 years ago. It's quite simply this. The problem lies with the people. It's not in getting more police officers, putting more guardian angels out there, more judges, more prisons. Crimes are being committed now because we've turned our backs on one another. We no longer have the sensitivity that we once expressed for one another quite openly, and in terms of many times coming to the aid of a person in distress or a person whose life was in danger, putting your own life on the line, not necessarily as an individual, but as a group, as a humanitarian gesture. It just doesn't happen anymore, and that's the reason for the problems.
What do you see as the reason why it doesn't happen anymore, though?
Well, we've just gone through an era, the 60s and 70s, of, constant inundation of the I've got to do my own thing principle. I got to be me. You only go once around in life. You got to grab the brass ring. To hell with everyone else. Everyone's going to look out after number one. And then a series of incidents that were highlighted by the Kitty Genovese case.
Right.
No one hears me. No one talks. No one sees. And it's just been propounded. It's gotten worse and worse, and we really haven't done anything to try to alleviate the situation.
You mentioned before that you're starting patrols in shopping malls on Long Island?
Yes, we have patrols in shopping malls, there are patrols in railroad depots, and there are also patrols in the street areas of Freeport.
Okay, now how does, which malls are you patrolling at this point?
The Roosevelt Mall, Sunrise Mall, and we're expanding out to some malls in Suffolk County.
Oh, you are? Like Smith Haven Mall, are they on the agenda?
Yes, they are.
Well, now, what do the management of the malls say? They employ their own security people. What do they have to say about your services?
Well, they're not overly impressed. It's like any agency that we begin to deal with. We are the volunteers. They are the paid workers. And many times they express their dissatisfaction in attempting to harass us. But we continue to do what we do because we're doing it for the people. We're not doing it for the businessmen, and we're not doing it for the politicians. We're doing it for the people who have to use this mall.
Could you describe what a guardian angel has to go through in order to attain that role? Now, they don't get paid at all. What other factors do you have for them?
Well, they have to be personally recommended. They have to be physically tested. They have to be interviewed. It's a process of about 2.5 months to 3 months before any decision is made, and it's basically like a closed shop atmosphere. The intention is to get someone who's cool, calm, and collected under fire, someone who's physically capable of defending themselves.
Now, the fellows who were taken away today, in that incident, now, are they, I didn't catch that, are they still locked up, or what's their disposition?
Final disposition has not been made. We're still awaiting that.
Oh, so then we really shouldn't be taking too much of your time then.
Okay, well, I'm down here at Central Booking, so we'll see what takes place.
Okay, well, we wish you the best of luck, Curtis, and we definitely thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hang in there.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That was Curtis Sliwa, I believe, is the way you pronounce it, the leader of the Guardian Angels in New York. And quite a movement, it is.
Quite a movement.
2 years, as of yesterday, they've grown tremendously. They started off with about, I think, 7 people throughout the whole city. Now they have hundreds, and they're patrolling places all over the country.
And that was the interview, taped in February, on the eve of... actually, the day after another occurrence involving Guardian Angels and police, as you heard, a melee in a subway car. And now we're still getting over another incident in New Jersey in which a Guardian Angel was killed. We'll have more on that on the 155 newscast. You're listening to the Best of the Voice of Long Island, Part 2, on WUSB Stony Brook. Coming up next, we're going to do a brief excerpt from a Peter Tosh interview. And if you can't understand much of what he's saying, don't feel left out. I was interviewing him, and I didn't either.
This is from Ray.
Much progress made in the
what's
last
going on in
10
Africa?
Years.
This book you're showing, what he's shot, what's going on in
what's
Africa?
The name of that book?
This book is his Shen Lives and Martyrdom and Death of the 12 Apostles of Jesus Christ.
It's pretty heavy stuff.
Yes.
Do a lot of reading like that?
Well, these kind of readings I will do.
Yeah.
Because these are the reality of the fantasy that we've been taught of today.
That's reflected in your music a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Let's talk about reggae music a little bit. At least here in the United States. Now, they tell me our station was the first to play it in the United States. Since Jamaican Fresh Release said that.
Reggae.
Yeah.
That's very good.
It's with Lister. It's thanks to Lister.
Yeah.
But how do you view it as growing in the United States in general?
It's growing slowly but surely. It has grown to a proportion in Europe, you know, and it's still growing because the people of Europe respond to reggae drastically. See, it surprises me to see the people that speak it, not English. It's a fungus that grows.
It's kind of a nasty way of looking at the fungus, you know, music. I see music as like really the best thing mankind has going for it.
Yeah, man. But our music is a different kind of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This music called reggae music. Yeah. When you catch the germ, it's contagious.
Yeah.
And it spreads.
I know. I'm aware of that. I've seen it happen to my friends.
Yeah, man.
Too.
True.
Well, 5 years ago, I didn't even know reggae music at all. And then I met Lister.
Yeah.
This whole campus, I already know, is affected by Lister.
Yeah, true.
He was a carrier, and he brought
good.
It to us.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It started just over a week ago. I still have trouble talking about it because the details are just so horribly gruesome. But I'll try. My name is Chet Webster. I'm a police officer. I've been one for just over 17 years now. And in all that time, the day that stands out most vividly in my mind is that sunny afternoon last week when I got the radio call.
Come in, 901.
901 here.
Yeah, get to 13 Barker Drive straight away, Chet. Say, something happened down there. So terrible, so shocking. I couldn't even begin to describe it over the radio. You'll have to go down there and find out about it for yourself.
I'm on my way. So quickly. Okay, just take it easy, ma'am. What seems to be the problem?
Well, my husband and I have been away on vacation for the last 2 weeks. I guess we should have told a neighbor to watch out for the house. We've been broken into before, you know. But it was never anything as horrible as this. Look!
What I saw nearly paralyzed me. A fresh coat of white paint was on every wall in the room. The ceiling, too. All of the rugs were neatly vacuumed and swept. Not only that, but there was a large amount of jewelry and cash on one of the dressers. It was, in a word, awful.
Who would do a thing like this?
I don't know, Mrs.
At least to Fanny.
Right. All I know is that there are a lot of sickies out there. We'll do our best to find the perpetrators. Two hours later, they struck again.
Officer, you got to help me.
What seems to be the problem?
Well, I just went into the Food King for about 10 minutes. When I came back out, somebody had washed my car.
My God.
Look, the hubcaps too.
What kind of animals are we dealing with?
No, I think people did this.
As the week went by, the gang that was terrorizing our town became known as the Good Boys. Where they came from, nobody knew. What motivated them, nobody understood. It seemed as if there were more reports by the hour.
Hey, somebody clipped my hedges.
Who cut my lawn?
Hey, where did these brand new seal belts and radials come from?
Well, how come I got a $10,000 deposit in my bank account?
My gosh, all of my toilets have been cleaned.
My garbage? Where's my garbage?
Holy Moses! Somebody blacktopped my driveway.
Fear has been growing by the minute. If anybody, Anybody out there has any information on how to stop these fiends before they strike again, please give that information to your local police department, because only through your cooperation will we be able to stop the good boys before they strike again. Thank you. Listening to the best of the Voice of Long Island, Part 2, on WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1:55 now, time to take a look at the news. It's 2 degrees in Stony Brook. That converts to 36 on the Fahrenheit scale. Still no new word on that Guardian Angel case. A county prosecutor in New Jersey has taken over the investigation of the shooting death last Wednesday night of a Guardian Angel in Newark. That Guardian Angels squad leader, 26-year-old Frank Melvin, was shot and killed by a policeman who, the cops say, was on a rooftop. However, reports seem to indicate that that police version is untrue. Guardian Angels founder Curtis Sliwa has charged that the shots were actually fired by an officer other than the one named by the police and at street level. According to Sliwa, Melvin was murdered in cold blood in his tracks. He calls the police probe a Mickey Mouse investigation. Well, many of the nation's major domestic airlines are reportedly going to raise fares next Friday by as much as $10 a ticket. Among the airlines cited in the New York Times report are Delta, Eastern, and United. The search will resume at daybreak for four people who are stranded in the Colorado Rockies. They were aboard a television news helicopter that was forced down during an attempt to report on a fatal airplane crash. Secretary of State Haig confers with President Reagan Saturday in Palm Springs, California. Haig and Reagan plan to talk about next week's visit to Washington of West German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, but other topics could be added to the agenda. White House officials say President Reagan is planning a shakeup of his foreign policy operation. Such a move could force the ouster of National Security Advisor Richard Allen, who is under investigation for possible violations of a White House code of conduct. At 1:57, currently 2 degrees Celsius, 36 Fahrenheit here in Stony Brook, it will be clearing, windy, and colder throughout the night, with the low around 30 degrees by morning. Tomorrow mostly sunny and cold, with highs in the mid-30s. Cloudy tomorrow night, becoming milder, with a chance of rain late tomorrow night. Lows will be in the low 30s. Sunday will be rainy and windy, with temperatures rising into the low 40s. Once again, 2 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook, and that's 36 on the Fahrenheit scale.
Again, you're listening to The Voice of Long Island, the best of The Voice of Long Island, on WUSB Stony Brook. For those of you who may not have heard it before, The Voice of Long Island is a program, a weekly program, aired Friday nights, Saturday mornings from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., hosted by myself, Eric Corley, and Mike Juhas, who somehow is not here tonight, although we may be hearing a tape message from him a little bit later on, who knows. Our next highlight from this glorious year of 1981 is a little something we put together one night. Actually, it was a night in August, I believe, the anniversary of the resignation of Richard M. Nixon. So a fitting tribute to that day, Mike and I put together a little tape, Nixon's resignation speech, dub style.
The president speaks from the Oval Office.
Good evening. This is the 37th time I have spoken to you from this office, where so many decisions have been made that shaped the history of this nation. Each time I have done so, I discuss with you some matter that I believe affected the national interest. In all the decisions I have made in my public life, I have always tried to do what was best for the nation. Throughout the long and difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office to which you elected me. In the past few days, however, it has become evident to me that I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort. As long as there was such a base, I felt strongly that it was necessary to see the constitutional process through to its conclusion. That to do otherwise would be unfaithful to the spirit of that deliberately difficult process, and a dangerously destabilizing precedent for the future. But with the disappearance of that base, I now believe that the constitutional purpose has been served, and there is no longer a need for the process to be prolonged. I would have preferred to carry through to the finish, whatever the personal agony it would have involved. And my family unanimously urged me to do so. But the interest of the nation must always come before any personal consideration. From the discussions I have had with congressional and other leaders, I have concluded that because of the Watergate matter, I might not have the support of the Congress that I would consider necessary to back the very difficult decisions and carry out the duties of this office in the way the interests of the nation will require. I have never been a quitter. The office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad. To continue the fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the President and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. I shall resign the presidency at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office. As I recall the high hopes for America with which we began this second term, I feel a great sadness that I will not be here in this office working on your behalf to achieve those hopes in the next 2.5 years. But in turning over direction of the government to Vice President Ford, I know, as I told the nation when I nominated him for that office 10 months ago, that the leadership of America will be in good hands. In passing this office to the Vice President, I also do so with a profound sense of the weight of responsibility that will fall on your shoulders tomorrow, and therefore of the understanding, the patience, the cooperation he will need from all Americans. As he assumes that responsibility, he will deserve the help and the support of all of us. As we look to the future, the first essential is to begin healing the wounds of this nation, to put the bitterness and divisions of the recent past behind us, and to rediscover those shared ideas that lie at the heart of our strength and unity as a great and as a free people. By taking this action, I hope that I will have hastened the start of that process of healing which is so desperately needed in America. I regret deeply any injuries may have been done in the course of the events that led to this decision. I would say only that if some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong, they were made in what I believed at the time to be the best interest of the nation. Those who have stood with me during these past difficult months, to my family, friends, many others who joined in supporting my cause because they believed it was right, I will be eternally grateful for your support. And to those who have not felt able to give me your support, let me say, I leave with no bitterness toward those who have opposed me. Because all of us in the final analysis have been concerned with the good of the country, however our judgments might differ. So let us all now join together in affirming that common commitment and in helping our new president succeed for the benefit of all Americans. I shall leave this office with regret at not completing my term, but with gratitude for the privilege of serving as your president for the past 5.5 years. These years have been a momentous time in the history of our nation and world. 90.1 FM. Achievements that represent the shared efforts of the administration, the Congress, and the people. But the challenges ahead are equally great, and they too will require the support and the efforts of the Congress and the people working in cooperation with the new administration.
It has come to our attention here at the radio station that there is a disco station in New York City playing a disco dub version of Nixon's resignation speech, and all we have to say from the Voice of Long Island is shame. The evils of Babylon strike again.
Our generation of Americans, by the people of all nations, not only that we ended one war, but that we prevented future wars. We have unlocked the doors that for a quarter of a century stood between the United States and the People's Republic of China. We must now ensure that the one quarter of the world's people who live in the People's Republic of China will be and remain. 100 million people in Arab countries, many of whom have considered us their enemy for nearly 20 years, now look on us as their friends. We must continue to build on that friendship so that peace can settle at last over the Middle East, and so that the cradle of civilization will not become its grave. Together with the Soviet Union, we have made the crucial breakthroughs that have begun the process of limiting nuclear arms. But we must set as our goal not just limiting, but reducing and finally destroying these terrible weapons so that they cannot destroy civilization. And so that the threat of nuclear war will no longer hang over the world and the people. We have opened a new relation with the Soviet Union. We must continue to develop and expand that new relationship so that the two strongest nations of the world will live together in cooperation rather than confrontation. Around the world.
It's 9 minutes after 2 o'clock. You are listening to the Best of the Voice of Long Island, part two. We're going to have the Adventures of Captain Chong coming up next, followed by that second Iranian telephone call, so don't touch that dial. Don't touch it. From the hills of Tibet to the detective squad of a New York City police station. The Adventures of Captain Chong.
Boy, just look at this. It's got to be one of the cleanest jobs I've ever seen. $2 million worth of diamonds just taken away from this here jewelry store without even a trace. It staggers my imagination.
Beware, for it is only a fool who finds it impossible to comprehend the incomprehensible. Is it beyond the realm of a water rat to envision a leopard? Can a cricket be completely unaware of the rings of Saturn?
You're right, Captain. You're absolutely right. These hoods think they've pulled a fast one over on us. But you and me were too smart for them. They won't stand a chance.
Brave words with cowardly syllables. Lao Tzu walked many miles to find the dovetailed swallow flies not only in blue skies.
I hadn't thought about that. These crooks may be harder to catch than we had first thought. What I want to know is how these guys managed to carry off all those diamonds and still managed to keep all the windows, the front and back door, and the cellar door locked when they left.
It is not wise to chase after three separate downtown buses. Book of Dao say, better to chase only one which can take you to a transfer point, where you may find others.
All right you are, Captain Chong. Let's tackle these things one at a time. Now, there had to be at least six of them to haul all the loot off so easily. which means they must have had a van or a small truck to help them.
Yet does not the loon of New England fly underwater?
By golly, you're right. They could have each driven a separate car over here and put one or two bags of stuff in their trunks and met at a secret rendezvous later on. Huh. But that still doesn't explain how they managed to get in here without tripping off any of the dozen or so alarms they have set up around here.
Never underjudge the ability of the East European rattlesnake to raise a family during the UEFA playoffs.
I guess you're right there, Captain Chong. If somebody really wanted to do something badly enough, they'd figure out a way to do it.
However, baboons and orangutans rarely marvel at the writings of Confucius or the works of Plato.
You know, continuing along that line, these guys might not even know we're hot on their trail. Huh, we've got to play our cards right.
One must take caution not to upset the fragile balance that has always existed between the Namibian wombat and the Mediterranean fruit fly, else all of the writings of Tao be lost forever.
So maybe we should look for more clues inside the room.
One must dissect the ambivalence of the sun god Delamagathakar before the towers of Babel rant and rave. All this must occur before the harvest of the tea leaves, which...
Hey, look at this, Captain Chong. When I looked inside the safe, I found that all of those diamonds were hidden off to one side, so we couldn't see them right away. They weren't stolen after all.
It has been, and always will be understood, that the Tibetan rainforest has the same physical features as the underside of a dromedary. It is so written.
I got to hand it to you, Captain Chong. You solved another one. I honestly don't know how you do it.
The adventures of Captain Chong are protected by all United States and Chinese copyright laws. Void were prohibited. It's 14 minutes after 2 o'clock. This is the Best of the Voice, and we are about to plunge into the second of those Iranian phone calls made during the height of the hostage crisis, right from our studios here at USB. This one coming up is kind of an amusing one, so you may just want to stick around.
No, this is a person-to-person call.
Hello.
Yes, this is the United States calling for Bruce Langan, please.
That's it.
Bruce Langan, United States calling.
Midtown Horrible.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Midtown, no.
They don't understand. Okay, do you speak what he speaks?
No.
Seems to be a bad connection.
It is a bad connection. But I don't think he speaks Spanish. Speak English.
Go on.
Hello?
Hello, Tarrant. Hello.
Hello.
Tarrant, can you?
No answers. No, Mr. Lincoln.
Okay, hang up. We'll call you back. Hey, Ron, would you hang up? We'll call you back. You don't understand English.
That's a problem.
That's what it is. Hold on, let me see if I can get a better connection.
We're sorry, your international call did not complete in the country that you dialed.
Okay, one moment.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. This is the United States calling for Bruce Langen, please.
No. 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 No.
He is there.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Yes. Bruce Langen, please. United States is calling.
He is in that building.
He is in this building. You sure you have the right number for him?
Yes, it's a very important call. It's personal.
I say, like this guy, do they speak English there?
Somewhat. Bruce speaks in good English, and these other people speak some English.
Well, can you speak what they're speaking?
No, I can't, unfortunately.
Hold on. Where in Iran are you calling?
Tehran.
Tehran.
What can I do for you?
Operator, I need language assistance.
Okay. What's your party's name?
Bruce Langen. That's who we would like to speak with.
Moment.
Thank you.
What's your party's name?
Bruce Langen.
Excuse
me. I'm Bruce Langen. I'm going to go to the English room. I'm going to go to the
English room.
Okay. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Is this Bruce?
Can you hear me also?
Yes, I can hear you. Is this Bruce Langen?
No, no, Bruce Langen, sorry, not possible.
Excuse me?
Yes, not possible.
It's not possible?
Yes.
It's a personal call.
This is the United States calling for Bruce Langen, please.
Yes, yes, I know, but not possible.
It's not possible, he say.
But Bruce Langen, not possible, I speak.
Is it possible he could call this party back in the United States?
Bruce Lingon.
Can he call the United States back?
My son.
Excuse me?
No, not possible.
Yes, sir. They're not going to let us speak with them. I don't know what else to tell you.
Tell to your party, just now not possible to speak for a finger.
Okay, did you hear it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Hello.
Why is it impossible? Where are you calling to?
I'm calling to the Foreign Ministry building.
Well, they aren't going to let us speak. Well, you want to try speaking to the party on the line?
I'd like to. I don't know if they'll let me talk to them, but...
Hello? Hello, Iran?
Hello?
Could you speak with the party from the United States?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just want to know that he is still all right. This is just a friend from the United States, and that he's well.
Hello?
Hello? I just want to speak to him for a moment just to know that he's well.
Are you part of America or operator?
I am part, from America.
Hello. Not possible. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs told me not possible.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that.
Pardon?
Can you tell me if he's all right? Just?
Yes, this is all right.
He is all right?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for that information.
Hello?
Do you know why it's not possible for us to speak to him?
No, I don't know why. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs just told me not possible from Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Is there someone else I could ask higher up to speak to him?
And those were a small, small part of the historic telephone calls which we made to Iran in the middle of the hostage crisis. Didn't really resolve much, but we gained a sense of the kind of chaos that was going on in that part of the world at that time. And it's interesting to look back on. We're looking back on 1981. Next week we'll be forging ahead in 1982, doing all sorts of wild and crazy things. We always welcome your suggestions, your calls at 246-7901, and your letters and cards, packages. Our address is WUSB, State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. I'm Eric Corley, and I'm in for myself and Mike Juhas, who is not here. We'll be hearing from him in just a moment. We also have a special surprise coming up for you at 3 o'clock, and this is a big one. So be sure to stay right where you are. Right now, I'd like to go to someone that we haven't heard from for a bit. His name is Sidney Schreiber. We're going to sort of go over his career here at the radio station, starting off with one of his famous reports. Let's go back to what should we do here? All right, let's hear one of his reports from the past.
This is Sidney Schreiber, and tonight we're in Huntington. Yes, we're on Main Street right now, and as you can probably hear, the town is fairly busy tonight. We're going to be talking with some Long Islanders, and we'll find out what's going on right now. Well, here's someone sitting on the sidewalk. Hello, sir. What's your name?
John Schleckenbach.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a drunk. I usually sit on sidewalks for a good part of the night.
sing old songs in a kind of slurred speech.
I see. You live in Huntington, right?
No, I live in Medford. I usually sit in the street over there, but tonight I'm pulling in for a close friend of mine who had to go to a party.
Uh-huh. So you're not the regular town drunk?
No, I'm not, but Bob should be back tomorrow night. He's in from 8 to 4, usually.
Oh, well, let me ask you, Mr. I'm sorry, I forgot what your name was.
Schleckenbecker.
Schleckenbecker, I see.
Yeah, all right. Like the maple syrup.
Okay. All right, well, let me just ask you then if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, I don't think so. You see, folks really aren't all that interesting.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, look back at the fool in Shakespeare's King Lear. He was always up in the clouds, but he said very interesting and at times relevant things.
Yeah, you're right there. Charles Dickens did that also. But you see, a Long Island drunk is quite different from a medieval drunk or even a Victorian drunk. The vocabulary isn't nearly as large, and there are no double entendres or hidden innuendos at all.
See, would you say this is true of modern-day drunks in general, or simply those in Long Island?
I'd say a little both. You see, today you still have your Bowery bums, and they're as witty and as versatile as ever. And the same holds true in most of America's big cities, and in Europe as well.
But not Long Island.
No, Long Island drunks just aren't as all that interesting, I'm afraid.
So you don't think you'd have anything engaging to say to our audience, is that right?
No, I doubt it.
All right, well, thank you for telling us that, and good luck to you. We're going to move on now and take a look at some of the indoor activities going on in Huntington. Here's a nice-looking place that a lot of people seem to be going into. Let's see if we can go in and talk to a few of them. Wow, this place is mob.
Hey.
I'm certain we'll talk to quite a lot of them before the night is over.
Hey, you. It's $5 to get in.
Oh, good evening, sir. I'm from Radio Free Long Island, and I'd like to talk to a few people.
I don't care who you are, Mac. You want to get in, you've got to pay $5. Otherwise, turn the other way and start walking.
Well, I suppose I'll get paid back by the guys at the station. There you are.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go over to the...
Hey, wait a minute. Let me stamp your hand.
Ouch! Oh. Well, let me see what that says, anyway. I always like to read what's stamped in my hand. I can't seem to, excuse me, I don't think this stamp came out.
Oh, no, you have to look at it under this light.
Oh, well, let me just take a look at that.
Hey, will you just get out of here?
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was in the way. Things are getting very busy over here, so let's go over to the bar and see if we can talk to someone over there. Oh, hello, young lady. What's your name?
Claire.
And what brings you down to this place on a Friday night?
Oh, I don't know. I just like to meet people,
check.
I guess.
Check.
There's really nothing else to
do. It seems as if a band is playing here right now, and it's kind of hard to hear what we're saying. But why don't we go back to the studios right now, and we'll come right back here when the music is over. For Radio Free Long Island, I'm Sydney Schreiber. Now back to the studios. Finished now. Can you hear me? Hello?
Some more material from the best of The Voice of Long Island 1981.
Part two.
That's true. Part one was last week. You missed it. It'll never be on again.
How do you know they missed it?
Because, well, okay, they might have been tuning in.
Right.
But you'll never hear it again.
Either way, you'll never hear it again.
Unless you taped it.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Well, that's because you were gallivanting somewhere.
I was gallivanting somewhere, but I forget where. But you're gallivanting somewhere right now.
That's true.
And I have to admit, I don't feel very, you know, very good about that.
Comfortable that I am on tape and you get to watch the tapes.
Well, I'm here live in the studio, you know, while I'm listening to myself saying this, but you're not. You're probably all home sleeping or something.
I'm probably sleeping at this very time, because I've got to get up early tomorrow morning.
On Saturday morning you have to get up?
You better believe it. I got to take somebody to the airport, by the way.
You do?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to...
what I did over the summer.
I know. I'm not even going to be driving a limousine.
Oh, well. I guess that's the brakes. Well, you'll be taking someone to the airport. I hope you enjoy your ride.
That's the brakes, and that's the clutches as well.
Oh, that's not funny. Are we going to hear some more good stuff in the next whatever time we have left? Yeah, we're going to hear some real good stuff in the next whatever time we have left. To just keep you informed, you are tuned to the voice of Long Island on WUSB 90.1 FM Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Why are we giving our zip code for?
Why not? We give everything else?
I guess so, but all right.
Mike, the telephone number is
516-246-7901. Give it in English now, in case somebody really wants to call us.
516-246-7901.
And if you have any real hesitation, call up information and they'll be happy to give it to you in a regular.
But they'll give you a different number.
Maybe slightly different, but it'll get to us one way or the other by carrier pigeon or something like that.
You remember Otis?
Otis.
That was
a major
thing.
Part of our program that we totally forgot about. Otis, the pigeon that you found.
That's right.
Over on what we used to call the bridge to nowhere.
But now it goes somewhere.
It goes somewhere. It goes to
somewhere.
no one knows where. But you found what? You found a little pigeon wandering around on the bridge?
Yeah.
And it was kind of hurt, wasn't it?
Well, it looked
it
like he had
fly.
A little abscess. No, he didn't fly. I don't know if he wouldn't.
He flapped a couple of times.
That's true. And he left his mark, which is still in the windowsill.
Is it
now?
I have to look at that later.
Yeah.
I remember this, you know. No, he was in the studios all night for our show that time, and he was in during Lister's show on Saturday. In fact, he was following people around the studio while they were getting records. It was really funny. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. And then one moment they looked around, he was gone. He was just took off out the window. And who knows where Otis is today?
Lucky bird.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we've got plenty of good stuff. Enough with the reminiscing, and
we don't want to reminisce too much.
On to part two of the voice of the best of Long Island.
Yeah, something.
Yes,
along
I did
those
say
lines.
That.
Well, we'll be back again next week live with a regular program, as regular as we get. But
oh, by the
now,
way, we should introduce ourselves in case nobody knows.
Who are you?
Mike Juhas.
I'm Eric Corley.
Good enough. Well,
catch you on the flip flop.
Ciao.
This is Sidney Schreiber back again in a bar somewhere. Congregating freely. Now, before we were interrupted, we were speaking with a young lady named Claire over here at the bar. She's still over there, but let's see if we can speak with her now. Oh, excuse me. Hello, Claire. Claire, can I talk with you a moment?
What do you want? Oh, it's you.
Hey, who is this creep? I thought you told me you were alone.
I am alone. This man keeps following me and asking me questions.
Well, I'd just like to know who you are and why you're down here tonight.
Please just leave us alone. I don't feel like being on the radio.
You heard the lady, pal. Now shove off, or you're going to be sorry.
Please lower your voice. You're making a scene.
I don't care if I make a scene. This guy's a dim-witted fool who would satisfy my male ego to beat his face to a pulp.
Well, if that's the kind of person you are, then I don't think I want to...
Listen, please, don't get into an argument on my behalf. This is Radio Free Long Island, and we're all supposed to cooperate and live in peace.
Oh, shut up. And as for you, do you think you can just come in here and knock everyone dead with your inflated ego and...
Hey, what in the world are you talking about? I don't have to deal with this crap from no broad like you. You're just as lame-brained as he is.
How dare you say something like that about me?
Say anything I want about
maybe
you.
Maybe we've talked with enough Long Islanders for one night. Maybe
how
we should just go back to the studio.
Like
for Radio
what
Free Long Island,
anyway?
This is Sidney Schreiber.
Hey, you. Are you the one causing the trouble back here?
I've never seen anyone like you before in my life.
I was just talking to these people over here.
Yeah, I can see what you were doing. Let's just go out back and I'll show you how we deal with troublemakers like you.
I really don't think this is that. No, no. Somebody help.
And so Sidney Schreiber got taken care of in the back room of a bar somewhere in Huntington. And the scene is now switched to about a month later when something even more interesting happened to our own Sidney Schreiber.
Here he is. Sidney Schreiber.
This is Sidney Schreiber, and tonight we're in one of my favorite places, Port Jefferson Harbor on the North Shore. And we're going to try and find some native Long Islanders and see what they're doing tonight and why they're here. I see somebody already. Let's see if we can talk to him. Good evening, sir.
Hello.
What are you doing over here this evening?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just feel like taking in the night air and communing with nature and stuff.
Well, that's very nice, but it's not necessary to shout. That microphone can pick up your voice at a normal level.
Oh, well, you see, I always talk this way. I work in a machine shop, you know, and the noise there is always kind of loud. So I talk like this all the time now.
But that's kind of interesting. I think it's kind of...
Well, you don't mind, do you?
No, not really. I guess it's just takes getting used to. But it must have some sort of an effect on your family, doesn't
What's
it?
What's that?
Your voice.
Oh, well, no, not really. You see, I kind of lucked out. My wife is hard of hearing, and she can't hear what anyone else is saying. But she has no trouble understanding me.
That doesn't surprise me.
The only problem I ever had was a few months ago when I visited my friend in the hospital and I was talking to him for a while. All the nurses thought I was just being kind of obnoxious and they had to throw me out of the building. It was pretty embarrassing.
I can imagine.
And every time I get into a discussion with somebody, I don't know, it always ends in a fight because they think I'm yelling at them.
Well, that's too bad. I suppose you've acquired quite a few nicknames, though, in your time. But the word loudmouth really fits you to a T. How do you react to people calling you that?
I usually punch them right in the jaw.
Oh, well, let's move on. I can see there are indeed other people on the dock tonight. There's one person standing all by himself underneath the light. Let's see if we can talk with him. Good evening.
Well, thank you. You lished.
Hey, it looks as if you were expecting me.
Of course I've been expecting you, you dummy. I've been waiting here 2 hours.
Well, I guess our fame is spreading. It had to happen sooner or later, I suppose.
Look, I don't know what you're mumbling about, but let's just get a little closer to the boat so I can hand you this stuff.
Well, this looks very interesting, though. What's in these little packages?
Hey, don't talk so loud. You don't want to get the whole town over here, do you?
Yeah, that would be great. But we have lots of people to talk with.
Will you stop acting stupid and start helping me? This stuff is heavy.
Well, let me see that for... Oh, wow, you're right. This weighs a ton.
Well, it should. It's the best stuff there is.
But what is it?
What is it with you? Do you get your kicks out of acting like a moron or what?
I'm sorry. I don't understand what you mean.
I'm beginning to believe you, buddy. What the hell's your name?
I'm Sidney Schreiber, and I'm here for Radio Free Long Island.
Oh, my God. I thought you were...
Is there anything you'd like to say to our audience?
What? I'm on the radio? Are you crazy?
No, I'm Sidney Schreiber.
Well, whoever you are, you're going to take a little boat ride. Get in here.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Just shut up and get in the boat. Now.
Well, a boat ride is always fun, even if it is a little cold.
And give me that thing. Can they hear me?
Yes, they can hear you.
All right, now then, listen. If you want to see this bozo alive again, you'll do what I say. I'll be in touch. Let's get out of here.
This is Sidney Schreiber saying goodbye for now. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Sidney. Sid, what's happening, Sid? Sid, hello, Sid. Hello, Sid, can you hear me? Hello, Sidney. Sid, hello, Sidney. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What would WUSB Stony Brook be without Sidney Schreiber? Oh, no. Oh, boy, okay, all right. We're going to have to get our ACE investigations team on this right away, straight away. Oh, boy. Get on the phone here. Let's see. Yeah, get on the phone. Dial this number. Oh, no. Eric is going to be really mad when he finds out about this. Oh, boy. I hope he's not too mad. Uh-oh. Jeez. I hope I can get through to the guy. Oh, boy. You know... Wow, Sidney Schreiber got kidnapped. What are we going to do? Oh, boy. This is, really terrible. Oh, boy. Come on, Eric, answer the phone. Oh, boy. Yes, 3517, please. Right. Oh, what's going to happen? Ringing there, at least. Oh. Eric. Eric, oh. Eric, is that you?
Yeah,
Rick.
What time is it?
It's 2 o'clock.
Mike, yeah, hi. What's up?
This is terrible, man. I can't believe it. Sidney Schreiber's just been kidnapped.
What?
That's right. I don't know. I don't know what he's been
up to. Wait, hold on one second.
Are you awake or what?
Let me turn on the light here.
Sidney Schreiber was just kidnapped right off when he was on the air.
Sidney Schreiber was kidnapped on the air? Oh, my God.
Are you awake? You want me to call you back in about 10 minutes?
No, yeah. No, I'm fine. Okay. I think I'm awake now. Okay, explain to me how this happened. What exactly happened? Where was he, first of all?
He was down at Port Jeff Harbor, and he was interviewing some guy who almost punched him out, and then he went to some other guy, apparently, I don't know, apparently a dealer in some kind of illicit substances, right? I think he just, like, went a little bit too far, you know?
Wait, do you mean he tried to interview somebody who was dealing drugs or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, really? My gosh.
I don't know.
He's really done it this time.
I don't know. Hey, listen, what are we going to do? How are we going to get this guy back?
Oh, boy.
Should we call the Coast Guard or what?
So he's kidnapped. Did they say anything to us? I mean, how do we know he's kidnapped? Did they officially say he was kidnapped
said,
or what?
I think the guy said, we're going for a boat ride or something like that.
Yeah.
That's all he said. And I just heard his boat motor take off. Do you think we should send a team down there to the harbor and see if they can get his equipment back, or see if his van is still down there, or what?
Well, I would say, yeah, send somebody down to see if the van is still there.
But there's nobody here.
There, but,
wait a minute, Eric.
As far as Sydney goes, what?
There's nobody here, though. You're all in Washington.
That's true.
Who am I going to send? I can't send...
No problem.
I can't send Birgit, because he's down there with you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who else? I can't send the station manager. He's there with you, right? Oh boy, what am I going to do?
Well, maybe when Captain Kirk comes
no,
in a little
no,
later.
No, wait a minute. Captain Kirk called up a little while ago, and he's not going to be able to make it tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been having problems with his tooth. Like he might have to be pulled out. What do you want us to do? Can we send Nancy Bellucci or what?
Is Nancy Bellucci there?
I don't know. I thought I saw her. I don't know.
All right, well, the van can stay there overnight, I guess.
Uh-huh.
That won't be any problem.
I'll go check it on my way home.
Okay, yeah, if you pass by there, make sure the van is there. And make sure the doors are locked and everything. Now, as for that Shriver character, he's gotten himself into... You know, this is probably the most serious mess he's gotten himself into, but at this point, I would say, you know, just... Let him work his own way out of it. He got himself into it.
What do you mean?
Out of it.
Wait, do you think he's going to send ransom messages or what?
I don't know. I really don't care. Every week it's been getting worse and worse. He's been, you know, pretty soon he's going to, you know, have people coming over here looking for him.
I can't believe you're saying this. You're abandoning your fellow cohort.
Not my fellow cohort. The guy drives me nuts. Okay, I can't stand him. Every time I see his face, I feel like running out of the room and doing something violent. All right? Now, the fact that he's gotten kidnapped really doesn't mean that much to me, except for the fact that now we have an extra 5 minutes of show time to fill each week, which I think will be a benefit to the show.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I might sound a little bit touchy, but that's really the way I feel about it.
And you and he had so much...
He's been doing us any good by going out to street corners in the middle of the night, asking people obnoxious questions, getting himself beaten up, and just making the whole thing sound like a farce over the air.
And you and he had so much in common, too. That's the thing that gets me worried. I mean, what happens if, like, something happened to you in Washington, like another riot, like you had from before, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to come after you, or what?
Well, I don't think it's fair to say that we ever had that much in common. okay?
Uh-huh.
The first day he walked into the station and said, hey, he's a nice guy. But ever since then, it's been going steadily downhill, and I think everybody's seen that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he'll... I don't want to say he'll work his way out of it, but I think he'll just sort of... he'll just sort of drop out of it himself somehow. In an ungraceful manner, of course.
Yeah, right.
Terrific. To tell you the truth, it's not that surprising that something like this could happen.
Well, yeah, I guess it was bound to come, huh?
Excuse me?
I guess it was bound to come, right?
Well, he was leading up to it. I mean, he's just finding... It's as if he plans in advance the wrong people to interview.
Yeah.
And he looks for these people, and he finds them. And this time he really found somebody who didn't want to be interviewed. And
Oh, no.
Many people's privacy.
Hey, listen to this. Listen to this.
What's that?
The weather forecast here, small craft advisories are in effect for Long Island waters. The guy's going to get killed.
A little cold here.
It says it right here. It's going to be windy tonight, and northwest winds 15 to 25 knots with stronger gusts tonight and tomorrow. Hey, the guy's dead. You just might as well forget about him.
Well, okay. In that case, then, we will be needing a new reporter. And there are a few that have been applying after hearing Sidney Schreiber. They think that we might be needing a replacement soon. We had about 4 applicants over the week.
Oh, really?
Maybe we'd like to audition them over the weekend or something.
Any pretty young girls?
There was one, yes.
Well, as things turned out, Sidney Schreiber was rescued. Strangely enough, by none other than Bunky and Spunky. I wish we had time to thoroughly detail how those events transpired. We don't. We only have about 13 minutes left. But it was an incredible saga. The kidnapping and rescue of Sidney Schreiber. And Sid came back a couple of weeks later and filed a new report with us.
This is Sidney Schreiber reporting for Radio Free Long Island. Tonight I'm in Smithtown. I prefer not to tell you exactly where I am because I don't want to draw a crowd. Let us suffice to say that where I am is not as important as what I have found. It's something disturbing, and it's also something which appears to be spreading rapidly throughout Nassau, Suffolk, and Connecticut. Now, a lot of us may have thought that America was entering a new era with the election of Ronald Reagan to the White House. With the conservatives in power, most Americans felt that they were now safe, that they no longer had to worry about all those radicals out there. But the sad fact is that these communists and subversives have not disappeared. In fact, lately it seems that they have been very much out in the open, spreading their twisted philosophies and unhealthy ideas to the defenseless populace. In fact, over the past few months, I personally have noticed many signs that indicate... That indicate that a leftist trend is developing, and it's happening right here in our streets. And as I speak now, I'm looking at a white rectangular sign which states quite simply, left turn only. Think about it. I'll bet there are a few of you listening who have already seen similar signs. Yes, seen them. And ignored them. It's indeed frightening when one realizes the implications of such a message. Only a turn to the left will be tolerated. In other words, the conservative trend or the moral majority are not allowed. Or how about this one, which I recently saw on the South Shore? It said in the same bold-faced lettering, wait for left turn signal. In other words, there will soon be some kind of a signal which will begin the turn to the left. What might this signal be? A Castro type of a leader who will rise up and drag this nation into communism? Or might the left turn signal be an inflationary economy or a rising unemployment rate? Personally, I have enough faith to believe that if and when this left turn signal does arrive, Americans will have the good sense to ignore it. But the main question is, who is printing these subversive signs? And the answer is kind of scary. It's our own government.
In this case, the New York State Motor Vehicle Department. And if you think that's frightening, just listen to the reaction I got earlier today when I called one of their local representatives to see what they knew about this.
What do these signs mean now? Why are you putting them up?
Well, you heard it for yourself. The country is going communist, and all they can do is laugh. A sad comment on our future, if you ask me. And the signs continue to go up. In the village of Comac recently, brand new signs were placed at the end of some newly constructed metal poles that hang over Jericho Turnpike. And what do you think is on those signs? Arrows. That's right, arrows that start off going straight and then end up turning to the left. They're all over the place. And if you use your brains, it doesn't take long to figure out that they're telling you to turn left. And the list goes on. Merge left, keep left, right lane ends, switch to left lane, right on red, an obvious reference to the Soviets. It's rather subtle, but at the same time, rather obvious. A Marxist-socialist philosophy is beginning to spread in this land, and Ronald Reagan, Jerry Falwell, and William F. Buckley are going to have their hands full. They'll need everybody's help in order to keep this country free. And now that public attention has been alerted to this problem for the first time, maybe, just maybe, something can be done before it's too late. For Radio Free Long Island, this is Sidney Schreiber in Smithtown.
We're back again, and we have a special guest.
Hello.
With us now is Mr. Charles DeBongo. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And where are you from?
Well, I'm from Walla Walla, Washington, Eric.
Oh. You know, I've always wanted to meet somebody who came from there.
Well, now you have.
Yes. Well, you are in charge of a brand new sports league that I don't think too many people have heard of. Now, I know I never heard about it until today.
That's precisely why I came to you folks. I know you're always willing to give the underdog a chance. Well, here I am.
Yeah, well, you're the president and founding father of the North American Basketball Association, a fledgling organization.
That's right. Well, the concept first came into my head at a cocktail party in early May. And then in mid-July, I suddenly remembered it.
Oh.
And at that point, I made a few phone calls. I arranged a couple of deals, and before I knew it, I had a brand new professional basketball league.
Well, things seem to have moved pretty fast for you, but how come nobody's heard of your organization?
Well, mainly because my secretary's a dumb clod and she forgets to put stamps on the press releases.
Oh.
Oh, well, that set us back quite a bit. Other than that, though, we've received quite a bit of flack from sports statisticians who don't really like the prospect of having to keep records for all these new teams.
And how many teams are in the NABA?
Well, we have 56 franchises at last count, Eric.
That's pretty darn good for a new organization. How did you manage to get so many together?
Well, you see, there are a lot of untapped markets that we happen to stumble across.
Oh?
Yeah, places like Abilene, Texas, San Joaquin, California, Chester, Pennsylvania, a lot of good talent in Chester, Macon, Georgia, and Orono, Maine. They just had great interest in basketball, but there just wasn't any team they could support. Now, through the miracle of telephones and interstate buses, now that need is being served.
That's real gratifying to hear. Now, I know one of the reasons the other big leagues passed up the towns you mentioned is because there really isn't any place large enough for the teams to play in.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true at all, Eric. I'm afraid the NBA has been feeding you all sorts of biased propaganda. There's always a place for a major basketball team. In fact, we saved a heck of a lot of money by passing up towns with big coliseums.
Oh?
Yeah. Our Sloatsburg, New York team plays in the high school gym. We had 45 people down there the other night.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Now, the team in Gainesville, Florida plays on the lawn of their city hall, although I understand their mayor wants them to play in the street. And our Lubbock team, Lubbock, Texas.
Oh.
home of Buddy Holly.
Oh.
Yes. Manages quite well inside the garage of their second-string center.
I see. Oh, maybe you'd like to tell the folks about the way the season operates.
Oh, I'd be glad to. We're kind of unique in that. Now, the regular season consists of a total of 4 games.
40?
No, 4.
4?
Yes.
You only play 4 games in the entire season?
Well, let me finish. Now, these 4 games determine the standing of the teams in the playoffs, which run from November to the end of August, which is right when our preseason games begin.
So the vast majority of your season consists of playoff games, is that right?
That's absolutely correct, Eric. And we have a rather unique system, too.
And what's that?
Well, we have 16 divisions, Northeast, Midwest, Southern Plains, and so on.
Yeah.
Well, in England, they have 4 divisions, that is, in soccer, but they call it football. Do you follow?
I think I do.
And at the end of their season, the bottom few teams of each division get put into a different division.
Uh-huh.
What we do is kind of similar. We take the bottom team of each division and ship it to another division on the other side of the country. Now, for instance, if Santa Barbara doesn't play good basketball, they could very well find themselves playing in Dover, Delaware next season.
Hmm.
And the only way they can get back to Santa Barbara is if they finish in the top third of their new division.
So a team could find itself away from home for an entire year.
That's right. And we don't have to pay for living expenses. So it's to everybody's advantage to play good.
One more question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
Mr. DeBongo.
Yeah.
You
can call me Charles.
Thank you.
You can really call me Charlie. I've known you for 5 minutes.
Well, Charlie, where did you get enough talent to fill so many basketball teams out of the clear blue sky?
Well, there's a little secret to that, Eric. Start young.
Uh-huh.
The average age of our players is 9.7 years old.
You mean your teams consist of little kids who aren't even 10 years old yet?
Mm.
And you actually threaten to take them away from their hometowns if they don't perform up to par? Little kids?
Well, look at it. Think of it this way, Eric.
They're playing for an entire year.
Right now, we're not all that well known, but in about another 10 years, all these kids will be bigger and they'll be playing better, too.
What makes you think they'll still be with your league?
Oh, they have to. They've all signed lifetime contracts.
We've been talking with Charles DeBongo, founder of the New North American Basketball Association, and perhaps a leader of the closest thing to child slavery we'll ever see in this generation.
Now, hold on a minute.
I'm going to report you to every agency I know of. What is this?
We're in the last few minutes of the Best of the Voice of Long Island, Part 2. We have one more little piece for you, and then after that, a big surprise. So stay right where you are at 90.1 FM, WUSD. And we have an expose here that we uncovered, sometime last year. I don't remember the exact date. But it involves a big, very big company, and we revealed something that was in their own backyard, and they didn't even know about it. That's right. The company is the telephone company. And we, the Voice of Long Island, who incidentally were known as Radio Free Long Island back then, found out about an area code that even the telephone company didn't know about.
706. What is it? What does it mean to you? Radio Free Long Island has been doing some research,
and we found a mysterious area code. Area code 706. Does it exist, or doesn't it? You be the judge. Yes, operator. I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to find out what area the area code 706 is for.
706?
Yes.
We don't have any 706.
There's no area code 706?
There's a 705 and a 707. No 706.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye. Interesting. According to the telephone company, there is no area code 706. Baffled and a little bit confused, I decided to try again.
Good evening, Mr. Andrea. May I help you?
Yes, operator. I was wondering if you could help me. I'm looking for the location of a certain area code. It's 706.
Sure. Hold on.
Thank you.
There is no 706 area code.
No 706.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get it from?
I just heard about it from somewhere. I guess it doesn't really exist, and if you say it doesn't.
No, there is a 716, which is upstate New York.
Buffalo, right. So that definitely is not a 706 area code.
No.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, it would seem from the evidence we have that this is purely our imagination. There is no 706 area code. Well, let's see what happens when we try dialing a number in the 706 area code. Sounded like a ring to me. Well, let's go back to our operator. Dial the number collect and see how they explain it. Yes, I'm making a collect call.
Your name, please?
My name is Eric.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if you could tell me where I'm calling, too.
Where you're calling?
Yes.
So you just asked me if there was a 706 area code before, and I told you there is no 706. Uh-huh.
Well, did the call go through?
I'll try it. Hold on.
Thank you. Excuse me?
I don't understand why this is ringing here. There is no 706 area code.
Yeah, that's why I asked you. It seems a mystery.
You have no idea where this is supposed to be?
No idea whatsoever.
Because we list Canada, too.
Uh-huh.
Nothing, no 706, not even in Canada.
It's very strange. Okay. Thank you.
Check Bureau. Repeat. Check Bureau.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Please check the number and dial again. I'll call you up.
Check, zero, repeat.
Hope I can't reach any operator in that area because we don't have an area like that.
This shouldn't be happening, in other words.
No, it shouldn't be. You know what it might be? Is a 7-0. It could be Mexico. Okay, 7-0 and then 8 digits would give us a Mexico number.
Oh, really?
You don't want Mexico, do you?
I don't think so. Is that some sort of a new system?
Yes, sir. See, on some of the calls you can dial direct through Mexico, either 708 digits or 908 digits.
Uh-huh.
Right now, we're going through to Mexico.
Oh, I see. Is that a new system?
Yes, sir. There's two ways you can call Mexico, either with the country code 52 and another, or, like I said, the 708D or 908D.
So I guess that's the explanation then.
Please, sir.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your help.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
And so the problem is solved. 706. It leads to Mexico. This has been a Radio Free Long Island investigative report. Thank you. Well, folks, that's all for tonight. The Voice of Long Island has completed its Best Of series and will resume regular broadcast next week, next Friday night, Saturday morning, 12:02 a.m., Mike Juhas and I, Eric Corley, will be there with all sorts of brand new material for you. So be sure to be with us as we do that next week. Now, right now, we have a special surprise, a face from the past that I haven't seen for a long time. Mr. Kirk Ward is back. Hi, Kirk.
How you doing there, Larry?
Kirk's going to be taking us into the morning hours with all sorts of foreign music, as he has done in the past months, and I'm really happy to see him back again. So for the Voice of Long Island, I'm Eric Corley. I'll be back again next week. Stay tuned for Kirk. See you later. This is WUSB, Stony Brook.
Oh,
choose.